Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is the Matriarch and I am your host for this absolutely, absolutely lovely, lovely evening. Today is Wednesday and it is the 14th of the first month, 2026, and we are diving down a rabbit hole. Now, this rabbit hole talks about everything and anything under the sun because we can, and also because, I mean, why not? If not, why not? Because, I mean, we are who we is, right? And the whole idea behind everything is for us to express ourselves. The aim and objective of our conversations are to address the elephant in the room because the elephant is too large of an animal for us to pretend it doesn't exist. Alrighty. So usually what we do on our Wednesdays as of the beginning of my career here on radio has always been that we dedicate Wednesdays to the listeners, to the callers. We dedicate this Wednesday to you guys that want to come through and talk about the issues that you guys want to talk about. And, you know, talk about the things that you want to talk about. Put your issue onto the table. Let us dissect it and let us dive into what you want to talk about. But all in all, it's not because I don't have a conversation. I keep my conversations. Because so the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio in case you would like to buzz us up, in case you would like to call in and contribute to our conversations. All right. Also, I would also like for you guys to call me and tell me that you guys are live and where you guys are live from, because I want to see where you guys are frequencing from. You know, I want Omthea to call. I want Utapi to call. I want all of you guys to call and say, Kuja, Ondangwa is live, you know. Omthea is live. Vintuk is live. I would like that. I would appreciate that a lot. The number in studio is 083-288-401. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, today our conversation is the driving force behind our conversation is enough is enough. Now, what is enough is enough? This is a saying that many of us have used so many times, especially when we are just about done, just about over it, just about through with it, just about is done, is a wrap, is through, I'm done. And we usually use these sayings with things that we cannot change, we cannot alter, we cannot redirect. We cannot do anything about it. And we are like, nah, enough is enough. Especially when it comes to things that are bothersome to you. When it comes to things that are not necessarily in alignment with your values. And also when it comes to situations that are, somewhat, for lack of a better word, abusive towards you, your character, your personality, your religion, your whatever, anything that is not for you. Often, many a times we say, enough is enough. Now, what happens? Why do we say enough is enough, right? Enough is enough means you've hit your limit and won't tolerate a situation, behavior, or feeling anymore. Means that you have reached your limit. Kucha la lo lo. Oga kopokuda ahoreke. Oga kopokuda or shiri. This thing is spilling over, and it's not spilling over in a sexy way. It's not spilling over in a nice way. It's not spilling over in a my head is anointed and my cup runneth over. It's not that kind of spilling over. It's not. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow I all the days of my life. No, it's not that one. It is not my cup overfloweth with goodness. It's not that put the coins and the coins overflow in this cup. It's not that kind it's over the limit. No. It's not the sexy kind. It's not the nice kind. It's not the kind. It's not the I'm so blessed kind. It's not, you know, I'm highly favored and blessed kind. No, it's not that one. Okay. So get it out of your mind completely. I think I've given you multiple examples of what it's not. It's not that one. It's not the roses one. It's not the butterflies one. It's not the creme brulee one. I was watching a stand-up comedy by Trevor Noah, right? And he was talking about the French people. Oh, he was talking about accents and how he likes accents so much. And he really likes accents. And he likes to imitate them. And then he also likes to see when people change their accents. So he says that, it's funny how we as the rest of us, right, go into French restaurants and we pronounce their food in their accent, right? So we would go on the menu, English. We would go on the menu and we would say, like, so the conversation goes like, yeah, you know, I've really been trying to get into this place and I've been thinking about it and I decided that I'm going to save my money and I am going to go with Felissa. And me and Felissa are going to have a wonderful, oh, good evening. You know, and then the waiter comes about, you know, good evening. Like, oh no, good evening. How are you? I would have a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc, you know, like, or whatever. Sauvignon Blanc. And also I would have my starter, or I'll just start with a creme brulee, you know, and it's like, oh, okay. Like, whoa. Like, you know, so how the accent changes. Like, so the whole time is like, yeah, me and Felissa, we're gonna go, my dear, and we're gonna what? And then creme brulee. Like, whoa. And I cracked up, you know, because when it was our turn, he's like, it's not like we're gonna go into the, it's not like a French guy is gonna come into any of our restaurants and he's going to be on that, a good evening. I would like to start with a glass of water, and also I would like a full serving of boerewors, met pap. Yeah, no, he's not gonna say that. He's not gonna say boerewors, met pap. He's not gonna try and imitate your accent, but you are quick to imitate other people's accents. And this is the thing that got me thinking about how much of a, I don't know, people's pleaser kind of nation we are. Because we like that. We like to adapt to other people's things. It's like we can't stay authentic in ourselves. And you find this a lot with, for example, one Ndonga guy and 20 Kwanyama guys are chilling in a place and the Ndonga guy starts to speak a Shikwanyama. It's like, whoa. Oh, okay. Cool. Or you find the one Kwanyama guy chilling with Ndonga guys and the Kwanyama guy starts to speak Oshindonga. You're like, hee. Or five washes chill with five Mbaranu dudes and the Mbaranu dudes start speaking Ochinganchera. So I'm like, oh. Like, oh, you're one of those brothers, huh? So I was thinking about it and I was like, yeah, but we really do. We don't stick to our authenticity like that. But anyhow, so we're talking about enough is enough. And in this enough is enough, we're talking about reaching your limit and reaching your limit of what you can tolerate, what you can't tolerate, and what feelings and behaviors you are no longer willing to accommodate. And we were talking about reaching the limit. Reaching the limit is basically when your cup runs over and it's not in a nice way. When you are, like, there's a word in Afrikaans, but I can't say it on air because, you know, kraan don't sleep. So I was about to say, fall, you know, mara, you know, yeah. So for those that can dissect that, well done. Okay. Well done. But it's like, yeah, when you are done, when you are full, you know, you're done. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about enough being enough. And this enough being enough is from a conversation, or not from a conversation per se. It's from a, a show that I was watching, because I'm a big auntie now. Now I've decided that for my holiday, I'm going to watch TV like a mad person. I'm going to watch TV and catch up on all the years that I didn't watch TV. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to eat and I'm going to drink cool drink. I don't remember the last time I drank water. That's what I'm going to do for the holiday. Yeah. And I'm going to keep up bad habits. And that's what I was telling myself, right? But eventually I had to drink water, guys. Like how? Eventually I had to. But anyways, this comes from an episode that I was watching on ID, right? That was talking about, so look at this. Once upon a time, there's this chica. Her name is Amy, right? And Amy was, she was not the big sister, but she was like, the one that's after the big sister. So she was the middle daughter. And between the middle daughter, so there was the firstborn and then Amy and then the lastborn. Now, this lastborn, these three of them, they were now the sisters. And basically, Amy was the one that always used to go on and say, I'm going to tell mom. But before that, please hold that thought. The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Alrighty, good evening to you. So, Amy was the middle sister. So there's the older sister, then there's Amy, and then there's the younger sister, right? So these three sisters are born by their mom and their dad, and they are one big happy family. So unfortunately, somewhere along the way, when Amy was something like 15, the older sister was like 17, and then the younger sister was, let's say, 10. The parents got a divorce, and they got a divorce, and the mom decided that the mom is going to have full custody of the girls, and the girls can visit whenever they want to visit their dad, but their dad is also going to look for a job opportunity and, but it wasn't like something really fazed them. It wasn't like something was really you know, bothersome because, you know, with divorce and everything, like, oh, and then it damaged the kids. No, no, no. It was not like that. It was one of those, oh, okay, we understand. You guys are fighting a lot and you guys are unhappy. Like, okay, so you guys are going to get a split and this is what's going to, okay, no problem. And also, the girls actually did keep in contact with their dad. And also they visited their dad and they were part of their dad's life. And even when he remarried, it wasn't even an issue. Everything was perfectly fine. So this is Amy at 17, right? At 15. And fast forward, when she's 19, she meets this boy. And look, everybody in the family thought that Amy was going to be like this top notch. It's maybe an advocate or a pilot or whatever, because she was always bright. She was always smart. She was always about her business. She was, you know, she was the girl, you know, she was the girl and, you know, she was the girl, Nkwetu. So around 16, 17, Amy fell pregnant. Nah, the whole story is about Amy. So Amy fell pregnant around 16, 17, and the entire town was shocked. So it's like you from Onakuleka, and then somebody falls pregnant, then all of you guys are shocked because you guys are coming from a village and everybody knows everybody, and we are all shocked. And we're like, oh, you haven't coitus? Like, ooh, you're having coitus and you're having coitus without a rapper. And now you're going to be a mama. And they really, honestly, everybody thought like this was the end of Amy's life. But Amy, like her family knew her. Amy was smart. Amy was a go-getter. Amy was not going to be held back by anything or anyone, and she was gonna get it. You know, she was gonna go far, and she was gonna get it, and she was gonna get the bread, and she's gonna get the butter, and she's gonna get the cheese, and so she's getting the lunchbox also, and the fridge, okay? With a lock. Now, picture that. Fridge with a lock. Like, a padlock. Not the sexy ones that we used to have in our growing up years, but a padlock. But also, why must, like, have you ever thought about why our parents used to close the fridge? Like, what? Why is that? Like, why did the old-fashioned fridges have cheese? Was it encouraging starvation? Was it encouraging people to not eat? What was it encouraging, really? Because how? Because now I cannot picture my whole fridge is having a key. And then I'm like, okay, guys, so the fridge closes at 5 o'clock. So if you guys didn't get your snacks and everything before 5 o'clock, then unfortunately you guys will have to wait for 5 a.m. tomorrow, because the fridge is also tired and the fridge is also needing some rest, okay? I know my mom used to say that about the TV. Yeah, the TV also wants to rest. I'm like, how? Like, and I really used to think that the TV also wants to rest, because every time you touch the TV, it's also hot. You're like, yeah, nah. It's overheating, it's hot, yeah. Oh, okay, mga putzara, first time, Jay. Or TV, oya putzara, oya pumba okufuapo. Eh, sige ako no karapi. You know, every parent, you know, every household had most those sofas where you put on urapi. Urapi mbonone, or ne wale auyara, no ko TV, o hakuyara, o karapi. So, sometimes we put on okarapi on the TV because the TV also needs to rest. It's almost, it's like, I feel like the end of that sentence should be, the TV also needs to rest because it's also a person. Mara, it's not a person, so. But I feel like it. Because I feel like my mom has used the saying a lot. And she has used it for people. So now when it comes to the TV, I'm like, in my mind, I just want to finish the sentence, like, because it's also a person, like, yeah. O TV o nayo o ya pungwa o kufuapo, eh? Aro di nayo o antu. Nayo ya vara. Like, yeah, my mother for you. So, anyways, so everybody is expecting Amy to fail. Everybody is expecting Amy to hit rock bottom. Everybody is expecting Amy to not be electric. Amy is going to flop. And how could she allow herself to get pregnant? And this is teenage pregnancy. And oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Mara. She beat the odds, didn't she? So she's pregnant at 16. And then she gives birth at 17. And then she still goes to school. Like she was one of those pop machines. Like, you know, she gave birth and then she basically just stayed down for like 2 weeks and then, you know, put on the maternity pads and put on that belt, sister. Ain't nothing and no education gonna wait for you just because you're healing from a childbirth. So she put on her Spanx and put on her best tights and put on some breast pads and she went off to high school. She finished her high school, top of her class. And everybody was so amazed. Everybody was so amazed because also on top of that, how she was supporting the child was she was also having a side hustle. So like you used to work at Spur. Yeah. So she used to work at a diner and she also used to go to school and that's how she supported her son. Now the problem is I'm asking, so was it a 17-year-old boy that got her knocked up or what? Like, who's this daddy that's not even being spoken about at all? Kanti, with daddy, he was in the picture, but not in the picture. He was there, but not there like that. So she just wanted to try from her side. And if he could support, he could support. If he couldn't, he couldn't. It's not really that. It's one of those I'm tired of asking. Yeah. I'm tired of asking for diapers. I'm tired. So I'm just going to go to work. Okay. And then I can just support the child and I don't need to ask anybody for anything. So that was Amy and she was brilliant and she was working and then she was also studying. She got her GED, which like she graduated high school and then it was time for college. So she enrolled in community college. She did like a course of office admin or something like that, but she was very, very determined. So, some point at the age of 20, right? So she's got her life going on. She's working two jobs. She's got a car and she moves into her own place finally. So she's the whole time she's living with mom, right? Mom and the sisters. And then eventually she gets her own place. So out of the three sisters, Amy was the boss chick. Amy was the one that's like, nah, mama, I'm not gonna live with you forever. So I'm gonna look for my own place. And I'm gonna go with my son. And that was a bold move and it was still appreciated. So she just moved like the way you move. You're coming from Okuriangava and then you move to Sederov. Yeah, just like that, you know. Something gentle, something subtle. She didn't move like to Oka Anja or to Rieboth or to Swakopo or anything. She just moved to go and get her own place with her child. She enrolled her child in a kindergarten. And at this point, it was just the two of them and Omar visits now and then. And then she also drops the boy off now and then. And that was the cycle, you know, that's how they went about their lives. And Amy was so responsible. She was one of those moms that is known at kindergarten. She's one of those moms that are known at school. She's one of those moms that are bringing oranges for the people when it's orange season. And then she's also baking pies when it's Thanksgiving and she's also doing what? And she's very, very involved. And the child is playing soccer and she's also very involved and she's cheering her child on. And mind you, at this point, she's just 20 years old. And I think that she was the true representative of Kula Umone. Kula Umone means like grow up so that you see. And I think she was the true representative of you mature when you become a mother. So she's like fully, because I know some chicks that did not mature when they became mothers, but who am I to judge? I'm just a lady on radio. Who am I to judge you, ma'am, that's leaving your child? Who am I to judge? Mm-hmm. When you were making suki-suki, it was nice, but then now you want to leave Kuku with the babies forever. Because there's no problem with leaving Kuku with the babies for 2 months. Mara, forever. Forever, ne. Without child support. How? You're just buying ciders. Anyhow, we're not here to judge, but we're judging. And so this was Amy. And then, right, this is the twist now. So Amy is this bomb chick. Yeah? She's bomb. So she's working on her body. She's 20 years old. She's working on her body. She's working on her body. She's working on her lifestyle. She has so many nice things. You know, she's got those apartments that we all dream of. Like, oh, I just want to be a single mom with, you know, an apartment with white couches and white curtains and one plant in the center, you know, and yeah, she had those apartments and it was nice and the child could play and there was a play area. It was nice. Umnandi, so it was nice, chica. It was nice. So she basically had her life going on. She was on a streak and she was elevating. She was going places. To be honest, with the way she was thinking and the way she was moving, we would assume that she's going somewhere and it's definitely to the top, right? Because I mean, come on. We're all dreaming of the life that she's having, you know? Like we're like, okay, cool. If I can make a mistake like that in 16 and still rise to the top at 20, then yeah, there's hope, you know? And at the age of 20, she meets this guy. His name is Terry. So we're thinking like, oh, nice. We're thinking tall, hunk of a guy, you know, Caucasian. No. Terry is the opposite. So Terry is a 37-year-old truck driver. He's a 37-year-old truck driver. And he was also a convict. But we're not bashing nobody, you know, like we are for the people, you know, give opportunities and chances, you know, if he's loving, he's loving. It's not that deep, you know, and immediately, right? Like 3 months into their relationship. So he's a 37-year-old truck driver and I'm trying to think of something nice. I'm trying to think of something nice without bashing Terry because I'm a nice person. This year we're going to be nice. You know, we've been looking for an anthem for this year and I think we found it. Yes, last year was trust the process and the year before that was go through it. This year we're being nice and kind. We're being nice and we are being kind and we are being apologetic for when we do wrong things and we are being nice and we're being kind. That's what we're doing this year. Okay, and accountable. So, yeah, but I'm going to it by end of January, right? So, we're being nice and kind. So, this Terry guy, so he's a 37-year-old truck driver. He's an ex-convict, and he is smitten by Amy. And Amy is smitten by Terry. And he's also African-American, right? If you don't know what that means, Google it. Okay, so he's an African-American male and he has a fascination for guns and he is also very loving and bubbly and very talkative. Now, his thing was pictures. He likes to take pictures, right? So when they go out, he's taking pictures. But the pictures he's also taking there are pictures like of the Hennessy bottles. You know how, what you used to do back then when you were younger and now you realize that no, I just want to live a quiet life under a rock by myself with my family and then just, I just want to make it to tomorrow. You know how you are living right now? That's not how you were living a couple of years ago. So he at 37 is living the life that you lived in your 20s. Yeah, like early 20s, you know, mid-20s, when the chileto was there, there was no responsibilities and you guys were bringing the money. Yeah. So he's about PDA, you know, public displays of affection. So he's always slapping on it, you know, slapping on that big body, be slapping on it. Yeah. We woke up in the kitchen saying, how the... No, babe. You know, sometimes I think of a song and then I only remember when I'm singing the song that it actually has vulgarous words. And then I censor myself, but then the censoring doesn't make sense. So I'm like, anyhow. So he was very touchy-feely and he was the type of guy that's kissing his girl in public. And then he was also slapping on her bum a lot. And this was like in pictures. So he would take a picture of his hand on her bum and, you know, in the kitchen and what. And so because, right, Amy left her job. Amy left her whole entire flat. You know that flat that we were talking about was the one with white, whatever. Like, yeah. She left that flat to go and live here. So let's just say here is, let us think of a place. I'm trying to think of a place that doesn't have future prospects. Like, even if you look for a job, you will not find a job. Like, oh, if you will not find a job as a woman, you know? Like, yeah. Yeah, I found it. Then she packed up her whole entire life and her son and moved to a town similar to Arandas. Yeah. I say Arandas not because I'm a hater against Arandas. I just feel like Arandas is for men. Arandas is for men. Arandas is for the guys that can fula ongopora. Arandas is for the guys that can be mechanics. Arandas is for those guys. Arandas is not really the town for a girl to come and make it. Like, what are you going to do? Work in the shop? Work in the bar? Like, I don't know. Run a guest house? I don't know. But she moved to a town similar to that where there were no real opportunities for her. So in this, real opportunities not being there, she was solely dependent on Terry. So Terry was the breadwinner. So 90%, or let's say 70% of the time he's on the road, and then 30% when he's home, he's making videos and he's inviting families over. And so her family is invited, so they come and spend the weekend, and you know, his family is invited, they all get to know each other, and it seems like it's great. So she's 20 years old and he's 37 years old, and this is a gap of 17 years, right? But apparently age is just a number and we're not judging anybody. But you know how the matrix is, we're judging. We are judging hardcore deep inside. We are judging us like judgmentally. We're judging. Alright? But okay. Let's not take it too far. So anyhow. So they are dating, you know? They are dating, and but Amy's mom, you know, mom's intuition. Amy's mom has this feeling. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. You guys are living a very flashy lifestyle. And I understand that truck drivers have money, right? Mara, the way you guys are living. You guys are buying Johnny Walker Black or Johnny Walker Black Gold Reserve. You guys are buying 18 years of what? You guys are buying what? Singleton what? You guys are buying Jack Daniel Honey Syrup to what? 1960. You guys are buying wine of Saint-Laurent, expensive liquor. And it's just for chilling. I don't know. And also your house doesn't look like it's all that. Like, yeah. So that was the indication. Like, yeah, but the alcohol here on this table and the food here on this table, right, is enough to buy you guys better couches and better TVs and better beds and better beddings and stuff like that. Mara, you guys are spending it out on the liquor. Why? And then Amy's like, yeah, but mom, it's not my money. And Terry can do whatever he wants to do. And it's all good, you know? And it's fine, Meme. Oh my goodness. Like, why are you such a snob? Like, why are you doing that? Ooh, I don't like that. Okay. So the mom is like, okay, fine. You know, as long as you're happy, I'm happy. As long as you're good, I'm good. And that was it. So, Terry had, like, this fascination with guns, right? So, he had, like, a AK-47, then he had a hand rifle, and then he had a Glock, and then he had a what-what, and then he had a what-what. He had, like 10 guns. And also because they moved to a place. They moved to Texas, okay? So they moved to a place where guns are a thing. It's like it's normal for everybody to have guns, okay? It's absolutely normal. So it wasn't really something that was alarming to the families or to anybody per se. Because, I mean, like, it's a normal thing where they are to have guns. And especially to have many guns like that. Because you are protecting your family. And there are also a lot of robbers and stuff like that that would come through and try you. So you gotta have a Glock. Nah, I mean, with an extended what? Aye. So okay. So they, and these festivities were something that was happening like every second week of a month or twice a month or once a month, but it was always lavish. And Terry used to like pictures until Amy one day said, like, why don't you just take videos? Because the pictures, so now the pictures are so many, and then you have to explain, like, oh, this hand that you are holding here is what. So why don't you just start taking videos? And that's when he started taking videos, right? So he started taking videos. Started taking videos, and the family would gather up and he would take videos. But then in the videos, right? And this is where now we all become alarmed, right? Because in the videos, you know, with pictures, they say pictures say 1,000 words, but words say 1,000 words also. Yeah. Yeah. Like words say 1,000 words. What you choose to say is 1,000 words. Okay. So sometimes we don't need to look at no picture to guess the 1,000 words that are being said, because a picture is still, but a video on the other hand is telling a story. So he's a storyteller through film, video. So, he would also record the videos, right? And he would record videos, and, it was also the era of sending videos and stuff like that. So you'd MMS the videos to family members to watch how the night was and what. And first of all, Amy's family started noticing that Amy started gaining a lot of weight. When I say a lot of weight, I'm saying look at yourself at 20 and look at yourself at 36. You see that drastic change there. Not unless you're one of those hands that is gymming and working out like you're. Guys, people are serious about their bodies. Like, they go out to the gym, they work out and stuff like that. You're like, must be nice. Like, oh, wow. Must be a really nice shield. And have I got gym shield? Really nice shield. Wow. But anyhow, so she started gaining a lot of weight. And this weight in itself was so much because it was alarming and it was so fast. And people asked, like, oh, are you okay? Are you stress eating? Because also she's never been a big boned woman. So it was like, are you okay? Are you stress eating? Because you've gained like 50 pounds. You've gained like 50 kgs from the time that we saw you 3 months ago. And it's like, are you stress eating or what is the problem? And Amy played it off and said that it's because she's spending so much time in the house, and all she does is watches TV, clean the house, and basically cook and eat. And this was understandable, because also, like, yeah, if you are accustomed to having 2 jobs and running around at school things, and you just go and sit still and just become a stay-at-home mother. Those are two worlds apart. Yeah. And so everybody kind of understood the weight gain. And then also everybody says that, you know, because we were always having fun and we were chilling and we were drinking and all of that, we noticed a few snide comments or a few bad comments from Terry towards Amy, but we paid no attention to it because Amy was so lovable. It seemed like it was just one of those, he makes bad jokes type of things, like, hey, you're getting so thick, eh? Ooh, you thick. But thick is most now sexy, you know, because when we talk about, you know, melanin full women, you know, we talk about thickness, and she's a Caucasian that is thick. So he's like, "Ooh, you so thick." And we're thinking like, daddy most Falcons, daddy, like, nah, sharp. Stop calling men daddy. Stop calling men daddy, guys. One day you're going to call your dad and do funny things, and then it's actually going, you're going to call daddy one day, and then it's actually going to be your dad that picks up there. So stop calling men daddy. Anyhow, so we're thinking daddy, you know, ooh, you're so thick. Mara, it was in the tone. And it was in the way her facial expressions were, because remember, now we are videographing everything, right? We're videographing everything, and she's now frowning on the video, and she's looking like she's feeling uncomfortable, and then she's pulling down her top, and then she would also sit way back at the other table because the other chairs are stronger, because she will break the chairs and she would say this and people would be like, no, Amy, you're beautiful the way you are. You know? And then it seemed like she was getting a lot of backlash at home from Habibi now, from Terry, who is not Habibi, he's a boyfriend. He's a boyfriend guy. And it seemed like he's saying thick, but when we all leave, it's like, you're so fat, you're a giant, you're a what? The body shaming thing. So eventually she started just, you know, like wearing the bamboo dresses. You know, wearing things that hide the figure, because how?
Ethimbo jomatango manene, ethimbo jomatarerepo, ethimbo jokuhangana, nokuchapura pamwe na aholike yetu. Ihesha simana unene, dika ojo ethimbo jokuyutha ko mpango de monjira. Kona akona omata yera goye, imangira mepaya joye, hinga wali kohi odungo, hinga ondaponji yuthwa, eto ende nukeka. Ninga shoka shomonjira, eto kupitha o umwenyo, ethimbo ondika jomatango omanene. Akwa nezimo yoye, oye kutegerera.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Alrighty, so we're thinking, ooh, lovely, thick, nice thing, so, like, ooh, attractive. Mara, no, it's not like that. So, secretly, this guy is body shaming. He's body shaming to the deepest order, like, oh, you're so fat, nobody's ever gonna want you, like, oh, your arm is gonna kill me because you're so fat, and oh, my goodness, you're moving the earth because you're so fat, and you're so fat, fat, fat. And then every time she takes food, right? She takes food, he's doing that thing of, yeah, minimize your portions because we are spending double the amount in groceries because you are eating so much. That's why you're so fat. And then he would also start doing this in public. He started doing this with family members. Now, how we know this? Because 90% everybody was drunk, because he buys really good alcohol. He buys alcohol for visitors. So you don't really care about what home girl is going through because you are rushing to the Hennessy Moss. Mara, because he's making videos and he's sending videos, right? He's emailing you the videos so that you guys can watch how good of a time you guys were having. You guys are hearing the comments. We are hearing the comments that he's giving when we are sober, because there at his house we are drunk. Mara, here at our houses when we are watching the videos, we are almost now seeing his carpeten, his basically body shaming Amy left, right, and center. And he's calling her names, and he's also monitoring what she's eating, and also he's frowning his face, and then he's also calling her stupid, and he's just basically verbally abusing her. Now, it became alarming because, you know, Mother Dearest always, like, yeah, you know, she catches the wave quickly. You know, baby girl's in trouble. The Powerpuff Girls are in trouble. Professor, the Powerpuff Girls are in trouble. So that's how the radar goes off with Mother Bear. So Mama is like, I, Mara di Terry. She calls Amy, and she's like, Amy, is everything okay? Like, are you okay there? And Amy's like, yeah, I'm happy. I'm good, Ma. Like, what's up? And the mother is like, well, I'm watching these two videos that Terry has sent, and I'm starting to notice that he doesn't really say nice things to you. You know, he calls you names, and then he tells you to sit over there because you're too thick, or you're too thick. Everybody, you are thicker than everybody here at the party. And I see your face drop in the videos, you know, and we don't really notice it when we are there because, you know, alcohol and stuff. But rewatching the videos, I don't think you look very happy. I don't think that this is a pleasant thing for you, you know? And she's like, no, he's just a comedian. He's just got that dark humor. You know, he jokes a lot. He doesn't mean it. He's a very loving guy. And he's also a very loving dad to my son. And we are a happy family, and everything is going well, and everything is going phenomenal. And he's a provider, and he's just a bit stressed sometimes. but everything is going to blow over. Everything is going to be cool. We are good. Okay. And then the parties continue. So now Mother Dearest also calls again. Kucha, man, Mara, you people are spending a lot of money. Or I'm checking all these bottles that are there. Ne? You guys are spending a lot of money twice a month, but you guys' house is looking like that. What is the problem? Like, why are you not, you know, as a woman, why are you not stepping in? Kanti, Terry controls the finances in the house because he says that he is the breadwinner, of which he is, and I'm not allowed to do anything. So he buys the groceries, he does everything, and I just perform my duties. Now, the mother asked, you perform your duties as a what, ma'am? As a live-in girlfriend, or is it as a, what are you, a live-in girlfriend or a soon-to-be wife or what? Because now, at this point, it has been 5 years, right? Or let's not even say 5 years. It has been 3 years into their relationship, and she's like 23 and she has gained like 80 pounds, 80 kg, 100 kg. She's big, big. You know, the type of big that if you ever got that big, you would want to be intentionally that big. That kind of big. Like, yeah, you would want to be intentionally that big if you ever got that big. And considering how you used to look like 3 years ago and how you look like now, like, it's one of those where you're like, I'm going to eat and thicken myself up. That kind of, like, yeah. Like that. It would be intentional. It wouldn't be unintentional, you know? So 3 years goes down the lane, and the mom is like, ah, no, girl. I see that you are gaining weight, and you are so, you don't have a spark anymore. You don't have that spark. You don't have that, je ne sais quoi that you used to have, mommy. And you are not happy. You're not cracking jokes. Every time we come, it's more like you're isolated and you don't really want to be in the videos. And every time that you're in the videos, you make a bad comment about yourself. Like, I'm so fat and ugly, you know? Like, is everything okay there? And also, you guys are spending a lot of money. Hey, this is Zali. Zali was on that. You guys are spending a lot of money on alcohol, guys. Yeah, because how? No. Because not unless you're telling me, Kucha, you have a friend that is having maybe a bar. Oh, not a bar, but maybe a bottle store. And you guys steal from a bottle store or something. Then I would understand. Mara buying it like that. Nah, no. So at this point, right? Because you know the Americans, they have credit cards. We also have credit cards, ne? But we are not like that. We are better. We own our things. Americans, everything is owned by the bank because credit cards, left, right, and center. So then Amy breaks down and she's like, yo, mom. So this story is the name is so. We are in deep debt, right? Because of Terry's spending. Terry is buying alcohol and luxury things. He's buying Rolex watches. He's buying all these things for himself, right? And he's not buying me anything. He's just buying things. And he's basically just a show off for social media. So at the time, Facebook also came up. And so he's just showing off for social media, like he has a point to prove or something. And also, by the way, did I tell you that he spent, prior to meeting me, he spent like 10 to 12 years in jail. And I was like, whoa. So he's a convict? Like, yeah. Serve time? Yeah. Inmate? Yeah. So everybody's like spooked out. Okay, history of violence. And she's like, not really, but he does manhandle. Manhandle is roughing you up. You know, roughing you up. Nobody's supposed to do anything to your body, but roughing you up. Like, yeah, when he's mad, he roughs me up a little bit, but it's not like he beats me or anything. He just, you know, pulls me around and, you know, tugs at me and then he does what, you know, and all of that, but nothing too physical. So I can't really say it's domestic violence or anything. It's more about like the way I feel. And then this is what she's talking about with her mom. And then they started frequenting their calls because, you know, they call a lot and then they talk because the mother is now in Windhoek and they are in Arandes, you know. And so she's going through this. And then 5 years comes along and then in their fifth year, Emmy is pregnant. Yo, at this point, hey, everybody's happy. And he kind of calmed down with his spending and, you know, oh, happy family. Amy is pregnant, and get this, he wants to name the child a name that starts with a T because he's Terry. So the child is Trinity. Yeah, the child is Trinity. So it's Terry and Trinity. You see, like you, Amy, shut out completely. It's just Terry and Trinity. And he is all about his child and he's all about his daughter and he's all about what. And, you know, and Amy is a phenomenal mom and Amy is a great mom to both her kids. And also Terry is also just looking after all the kids and all of that. And then after 3 years, so Trinity at this point is 4, right? And then Amy gives birth to another baby. So at this point, Amy has 3 children. So at this point, Amy has 3 children, but we also cease to see Amy's son in the picture. So I'm guessing that, whatever was happening at the house was so bad that the biological father of the boy, Amy's child that she had in teenage pregnancy, the biological father of the child decides that, no, I'm taking my son from this situation because this situation is bad and it's bad for my kid and I don't want this. So what situation are we talking about? So Terry. Okay, so Terry, it's Trinity. Ne? His daughter is Trinity. And then it's his last, the last born is Tariq. So all of them are 3 T's. Terry, Trinity, and Tariq. Like, yo. And there's no even space for no Amy things like, nah. You're not important like that. So it's my children. It's Terry, Trinity, and Tariq. Okay. So she lets it slide. And at this point, so it's just the 4 of them in the household, right? And one day along the years, right? So fast forward, they're just living in their situation, whatever situation this is. So one day at 2 a.m., Trinity, the daughter of Amy, calls the grandmother, Amy's mother, and says, can you please come get us? Can you please come get us, Cuckoo? You know? Like Cuckoo can just drive from Windhoek to Arandes now, you know, like a plane. Can you please come and get us? Because our father is holding my mother down and has a gun in her mouth and he is threatening to kill her and domestic violence vibes. So mother dearest calls the cops, right? Calls the cops and the cops come and the cops, you know, they split the situation. And then Terry spends at least 3 days in jail for the domestic violence charges. So Amy doesn't drop the charges, you know, he just comes out and then they, you know, they continue living their life, but she doesn't drop the charges, right? No, she doesn't drop the charges. She's just on that, like, you know, no. So the charges are there. And this is now assault and with intention to cause grievous bodily harm, threat with a firearm, and etc. So he stays 3 days inside there. It was before gender-based violence was a thing. So, or not gender-based violence, but before, you know, the passion crimes and all of that. So people would just walk free. In this day and age, when you get arrested for that, you're not going anywhere, please, because we know you're not going anywhere. So So he comes back home, and Amy is home. She didn't go anywhere. You know, she's there with her blue eye and blue busted lip and whatnot. And he apologizes. Oh, baby, I'm so sorry. I'm never going to do this again. You know, sometimes I just lose my temper, and it's just crazy. And this is 10 years in, right? So this is 10 years into the relationship. So they met when they were 20. So at this point, right, Terry is 47 and Amy is 37. Okay, so he was 37 when they met and she was 20. So that means the gap there was 17 years. So he must be now 57. You guys can do the math, okay? Amy is 30 and 40, 47. Okay, 47. All right. So at this point, he's 47 years old and he is now reaching that point. You know where that point is? That point is most now when you are no longer, he was never attractive. He was never a keeper. He was never like that. That's why I said, like, I don't know how we are picking, you know, like, yeah, small, like, I was about to be insensitive, but these days, I think that that is why 2026 must be about kindness, because I was about to diss his alopecia, but it's not alopecia like that. It's just aging. He's just balding, you know, it's like it is what it is. So his hairline is receding and he's alopecia, he's alopeciaing, and he's got baldness, and he also got like wrinkles, and you know, his eyelashes. You know, I feel like there's a high amount of disrespect when it comes to gray hair. Gray hair chooses where it's gonna pop up. For the lucky ones, nah, it pops up in the regions that nobody else sees except the spouse. For other people, it shows up on the head. For other people, it's on the beard. For others, though, it shows up on eyelashes. So imagine your eyelashes just start going gray. Like how? Then later on, you don't look like you have eyelashes because all your eyelashes are gray. So that's there. So Terry has gray eyelashes now because, you know, stress and, you know, being a truck driver is always in the sun, what. So, okay, cool. Well, that's what they said at least. So that's the story we're going with. So Terry. So Terry is 47. She's 37 and it's getting a bit more aggressive, and then also, so Terry starts cheating. And at this point, right? At this point, so it's been 10 years. So for 10 years, Amy is at home. She's a stay-at-home mom, and she's just caring for babies and drawing butterflies. And she's just making cookie pans and drawing calendars. And she's, you know, she's doing that. You know, she's doing mom things, you know, mommy things. And she's doing mama things. So with these mama things that she's doing, right, she's, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. And, yeah, for Stanje. So eventually at some point, she's like, yo, what am I doing? Why am I in the house? Why am I in the house? Why am I babysitting the house? With all the stories of this man, why am I not getting an education? Question. Why am I not getting a job? Why am I not elevating my life? Where did my life stop? And she's asking herself these questions. And then one day she walks past the court or something. And the court had a buzzery system. It was a buzzery system where they were paying for paralegals or something like that in the court. So they were paying for the paralegals to go to school and come and work for the court. Remember, it's a town similar to Arandas. So these things, they happen because we need people to come and work. But we also want you guys to get educated here in the town. And then you guys can come and work for your own hometown, Stanje. So she decides, I'm going to walk into the court. And I'm going to get a buzzery. And I'm going to get an application form. And I'm going to fill it out and all of that. At this point, they are still just boyfriend and girlfriend. They are cohabitating just only. They are not married. They are not engaged. There's no talk of those things. Every time the conversation of marriage comes up, Amy is, is told that, yeah, I'm not ready. And as an African-American man, we don't let no woman dictate when we get married. And this is a 47-year-old, eh? And we don't dictate when no woman tells us when we get married. You know, the gist. So she kind of just stops asking, and then she gets her education buzz on. So she was doing like a diploma or something like that. I don't know. It was in criminal law, something, but she had to go and work for the court, and she was like a court clerk or something. I forgot. Okay. Cool. So fine. So she's studying, right? And she's studying, and Terry's not feeling it. But he's assuming, because, you know, she's such a great mom, and she'll get tired and she'll drop out, you know? Because he's not expecting anything from her, like any achievement, any what. No, he's not expecting that from her. So 1 year passes by, distinctions over distinction. And then the second year, she decides like, the kids must go to school. The kids must go to kinder so that I can focus on my school as well. And Terry's like, yeah, my children. Okay, the big one has to go, but yeah, I don't want my small child inside. I don't want my small child, going to kindergarten, and you don't have a right to actually dictate what I do with my money in my house. So you must just stay and stay with the child, and you must just leave these shenanigans of school things and what's wrong. You're a bad mother. And so it just so happens, right? And at the court, there was also like a job that didn't need many qualifications or anything. It was just like a grade 12 type of thing. So she applied for that kind of job, and she got it. So she was now earning an income. So she puts little boy where? Mokinda. And she pays. So Terry is not having it. And then Terry starts sleeping around. Starts cheating, starts sleeping around. But he has always been cheating and has always been sleeping around. But now he's doing it in such a way that Amy can see. Amy can smell it. Amy is being told. He's not even going to do it far, because a truck driver can go and cheat in Hobabas. A truck driver can go and cheat in Luderitz. A truck driver doesn't have to cheat here in Aris. You understand? Mara, he decided he's going to have a whole gang of relationships in Aris, just to show Amy that she ain't the one, and you ain't nothing, and. So now, Amy is hearing about this, right? Amy is hearing about this, and Amy is also doing those things of, yeah, I'ma catch you and what. So, fast forward, she finally gets her paper, and home situation is not changed. And also Terry has become officially like the violent guy of going to work with bruises and a lot of concealer and makeup. That kind of guy. Like, what happened to your lip? No, I just fell. What happened to your eye? Ooh, I just bumped my head into the what? Oh, what happened to your arm? No, I broke it by accident. What happened to your leg? Ooh, like, yeah, but it's all just Terry. Terry's just beating the living hell out of Amy, right? And she's just covering it up. So at this point, it's been 13 years in their relationship, right? So Terry turns 50. So Terry turns 50 and great, right? Right. So Amy's 33. What's that? So Amy's 33, and you know, Terry is the show offer, so he throws himself a party. He holds himself a party, and he goes and takes a loan, and because he's not married or anything, he goes and takes his money, and he goes and takes what, and he takes things, and then he throws himself a whole party, and it's great, it's fine, it's fun. Okay. So then Amy starts working now full time for the thing that she was studying. Now that one is giving real money. When I'm saying real money, I'm saying real money. Real money to the point of we are buying cars. And Terry's not having it. Because now she's got her own life. And she's still overweight, right? But she has her own life going on. So this is like, what, fast forward in the 2 years. So this is 15 years together. So Terry starts sleeping around, and now he's being caught and careless. So he has like an extra phone, and this extra phone, he just leaves it. And we know, You know, when you know, you know. When somebody's trying to deliberately hurt you, we know. So this guy is trying to deliberately hurt her. And she's like, yeah, I'm not going to pay any mind to that. And then the mistresses of Terry start calling, you know, Amy. Like, yeah, you ain't nothing. You're not even married by him. You're spending 17 years with him and ain't nothing happening because he ain't never going to marry you. You know, he came back to his people, back to his clan, back to his wife, right? If it was the, you know, the African-American chicks, if it was a Caucasian, it's like, yeah, I'm better than you. And yeah, that was the story now, story of her life. And she felt so bad. Because she's always wanted to get married and Terry doesn't want to marry her, but he also doesn't want to leave her alone. So let's just break up. Like, no, we're not going to break up. Let's get married. No, I'm not ready for marriage. Like, what's wrong? Like, yeah, I don't have the money for it. Like, okay, fine. I'll pay for it. Like, nah, that's going to bruise my ego. Like, what won't bruise your ego? If I get mysterious money, bam, mysterious money is sent. Are we getting married? You got mysterious money. Nah, I'm buying a car. And this went on. And at some point, Terry got like some kids, you know, he got outside babies, you know, outside babies with other people while they were still in a relationship. And one of them, right, Terry was openly posting. Like openly, like he's in a relationship with Amy, but are they on the, on Facebook, you know, he's having pictures with Elizabeth and the child and they're being happy family and what. And every time she wants to leave, she gets beaten and, you know, it's just bad. So she finally decided that, no, I'm going to give you an ultimatum. I'm going to give you an ultimatum and it is what it is. So the ultimatum was, I'm going to walk. I'm going to go if you don't marry me. Now, this ultimatum looks like a good idea. It looks like a good idea up until you're married to somebody that keeps throwing it back in your face that, yeah, I didn't want to marry you. You told me that I have to marry you. Or I didn't really love you, but you forced me. And yeah, so that's what started happening. So on the day of a day before their wedding, right? So it's a bridal shower and a bridal shoot. Terry decides that he's going to go drinking at his bachelor party. So he's going to go drinking and then he's going to go missing also. So after he was done drinking with the groomsmen and stuff like that, so he decides that, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to drive, you know, to Sarah's place. I'm going to drive to Sarah's place and I'm going to have coitus with Sarah and I'm just going to sleep there with Sarah and it's Sarah. So in the morning, he's so hungover and Sarah's not going to wake him up. Like, what? Sarah is not going to wake him up. Why? Because Sarah also doesn't want him to get married. Like, what? So Sarah is just quiet. And then Amy shows up because she knows all the mistresses, right? And she knows which one is his favorite. So Amy shows up in a wedding gown, right? Face beat and everything. She shows up at Sarah's place and she's like, Terry, get up. You gonna marry me today, Terry. After 20 years, you gonna marry me today, Terry. Like, yeah. And basically she drags Terry to the altar. So in all their wedding pictures, Terry has shades on because his eyes are bloodshot red. Like red because this guy is fully hungover and he has. And he's still drunk from last night and it's just bad. And he's also coming from coitus with another person. Man, my question is like, why you as a person, like, why will you do that to yourself? Is it because you don't want to, like, because there's also a lot of shame. I'd rather have a drunk guy still marrying me than the wedding not going through. Like, there's a lot of shame. Maybe we can go and thug it out in the marriage or something. We can at least be married for 2 days, you know? So those are part of the problems that people live with, ne? That, like, yeah, you find out something very, very, very bad on the day of the wedding and you're like, should I cancel it? Or should I go forward with it? And Amy was like, oh, hell no. I spent 20 years with this guy. I'm going to get married. 20! I'm going to get married. And she went to marry him. And she looked so beautiful. She was the perfect bride. She looked so beautiful. Face beat, hair done. Everything was so nice and it was so wonderful. Right. And she looked beautiful and she was absolutely amazing. Now with Terry on the other hand, Terry was Terry, you know, Terry's like what, 56, 55, 54, something at this point. So, you know, chasing a diamond. All right. So, and Terry has never been our favorite. So we are allowed to judge. Be kind, guys. Be kind, be kind, be kind. So at this point they get married and so now Terry is most not happy about his wife working. He's not happy about his wife having this Miss Independent attitude. Like, yeah, you got attitude and you got attitude and you just think that you are the girl and I think that at this point, Amy just got married. Amy got married to this guy, right? To prove a point to her tummies, to be honest. And if you ever got into a marriage to prove a point to a tummy, you realize quickly that tummy doesn't go away. Tummy is just not loud anymore because it's embarrassing for men also. To be having that as his, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So it's also embarrassing. Are we together? We are together. All right. So she gets married to show her tummies that, yeah, I got the price. I got the man and he's the price. And oh my gosh, you guys are not going to do anything to me because I'm absolutely amazing. And he loves me. He doesn't love you. That's why he put a ring on it. And she's flossing this ring, my dear, after 20 years, you know, she's flossing this ring and we got a beautiful family and what, but she's getting beaten at home and she's getting, but her life has upgraded to some degree and she's working and she's making money. So after 5 years of the marriage, she was officially at that point of our conversation for today. Enough is enough, right? We're talking about enough is enough. And we defined enough is enough as enough is enough means you've hit your limit and won't tolerate a situation, behavior, or feeling any longer. Often signaled when you're constantly the only one trying. Your boundaries are repeatedly crossed, especially in a relationship. You're sacrificing your well-being or you've lost hope for change, indicating it's time to prioritize self-respect and walk away from for your own health. This is what enough is enough means when it comes to relationships, right? So this is the enough is enough. So she finally hit that point. So look at this enough is enough. It's not like nonsense was not happening. It's not like she couldn't see that this person was not the best or trash per se, but she held it out, right? And she even ended up getting married to this person because of the wrong reasons. And it is what it is. I had babies with this man. It is what it is. So 25 years in, right? She decides, you know what? No, I can't keep letting my kids watch me get beat down by you and threatened every day. I can't let myself be kicked in out of the house in the middle of the rain because you are having a bad day. I can't, right, be pointed with a gun and the gun is put in my mouth. I cannot be threatened like that. And you know what? I'm just tired. I don't want this anymore. Enough is what? Enough. So she decides that she wakes up in the morning. And you know, she works at the court. So she wakes up in the morning and she goes to work and she goes and gets a divorce lawyer. there at work. And she's like, I need you to send this to my husband. These are, I want a divorce from my husband. And the divorce papers are served to him. He's calling and cussing and telling her that she's not going to go anywhere. Where is she going to go? She's fat and she's ugly and she's got three kids. Ain't nobody want no woman with three kids. And she's also just a liability and she's not clever and she's just, she ain't nothing. And these are now like, these are now the calls that she's receiving throughout the day after he has been served most now his divorce papers. And he comes down and thinks that she is not serious. She's maybe just mad because, also he uploaded some pictures of him and other women kissing them and touching them and stuff like that on social media. So he decides that, you know what? Maybe she's just mad, right? I'm going to take these pictures off. So he goes onto his Facebook and he removes the pictures. Now, me, my question is, as a married man, why? Or as a man that is in a committed relationship for somebody for 25 years, why? Why are you doing such things, say? And is it all just to hurt the other one? And why do you feel the need to hurt the other one? Why are you hurting the other one? What did this person ever do? Yeah, she thinks she's the one. But is she not the one? She got you done. She got you in chokehold for 25 years. She is the one. She grabbed the bull by the horns. She's the one. Okay. So he thinks like, I know it's just a tantrum that she's throwing because she's most probably upset. Ooh, that I've been talking to people and. So it's not going to be... Fine, let me just take these things off my social media. Let me just also write there, married, you know, because maybe, you know, she's not really happy. Okay. So from there it's more of a like, okay, fine, cool, whatever. Cool. So he takes that off. She gets back from work and he kind of like patronizes her and plays along with whatever she's saying. Like, so she's like, yeah, from now on, we're not going to be living, like a married couple anymore. I'm really seriously done. And I'm really done. And the pleasurable thing about this is that, while he was so deep in debt, right? She managed to buy the house that they lived in. So technically it was her house. So she asked like, okay, so I'm going to set you up with an apartment. I'm going to set you up with an apartment and I'm going to furnish this apartment because at this point she's also making gualamas and dough and cash money. She might be the guaps, right? I'm going to set you up with a nice apartment in a good part of town. And from there, that's it, you know? So we're going to go through this operation. And he's like, yeah, sure. Whatever. No problem. Cool. Ooh, more freedom, you know? And he's like, oh, okay. She's like, oh, okay. So he's fine with it. Cool. Because she's serious, right? He's the one that doesn't think she's serious, but she's serious. Mughal is serious. Seriasi. So like a month passes by. So she's gathering all the coins and stuff like that. And they are still living at the house. Nothing has really changed apart from the fact that because Amy is a nice person. So she's not talking to her, to her husband. She's like, yeah, you know, like, I'm fine. How are you? How was your day? Okay, cool. And stuff, but they're just not doing pata pata and they're not doing funny things and everything is just going on as normal. So he's thinking that they are fine, right? He's thinking that they're fine because also he doesn't care about patapata because he's getting patapata from everyone else. So he doesn't really care about patapata with his wife. So it's not a problem. So he's not even forcing it because also apparently he's so disgusted by her because she's so ugly and she's so fat and she's so white and her feet are what and her hand is what and all of that. So he's really not trying to rub up on it. You know, he's really not trying to, you know, rub up on it. Rub. Nah. No. None of that. So he thinks everything is cool. So a month goes by and then she finally finds an apartment, right? And then she gets the apartment. But then now the apartment is not furnished. So another month passed by and then she purchased, furniture, full furniture, comfortability, maybe for the 20 years, the 25 years that you have spent with me, I want to thank you with your own apartment and your own furniture. It's not credit card things. It's not debt things. Just buying small by small. Today she buys a microwave. Tomorrow she buys beddings. Tomorrow what? And it's nice. It's like a 2-bedroom. Even gets him a 2-bedroom, so in case he's got company, you know, he can be sleeping in the other room. Like, in case he's got company, his sisters and his wife can sleep in the other place, a guest room, comfortable, because Amy is not a bad person. So, she sets him up, and one day they're sitting, and she's like, oh, by the way, Terry, your apartment is ready, so you can move out tomorrow. It's already fully paid and fully furnished. So you can move out tomorrow and you can go and enjoy your life because it's all good. And it's not a fight. We're not fighting. We're not arguing. We're not bickering, right? It is just great. It's just great. It's just going down. It's just going down. It's just okay. So, like, again, Terry thinks that Amy is just this stupid lady. So he's like, he's going with it. Like, but he's going with it. Mara is like, let me see what she got me, you know, like, so I can complain about it. So he's thinking that it's in the ghetto and it's a ratchet place and what. Then he gets there, then he's actually impressed. So the first thing that he thinks about when he gets there is like, ooh, I'm going to bring all my girls over and we're going to have a party with Hennessy bottles and pop champagne and make videos and put it up on Instagram and I'm living my life. And then he goes, right? He's not even fighting. He's not even arguing, right? He just packs up his bags and then he goes because he doesn't need nobody's furniture. He doesn't have anything sentimental there. Bye, guys. Bye, kids. You know, and he's out because he's thinking, party. So he goes. Terry goes and has his fun in his apartment and he's enjoying. Mara, you can only have fun for so long, married man. You can only have fun for so long until you realize that you haven't eaten a proper meal in 2 weeks. You've just been eating fat cakes and you've been eating burgers and you've been eating Kentucky. And you haven't eaten pap no makungu in a while, you know? And that's when you also realize that, like, sure. But for the days that I don't have money to pop off, you know? Like, nobody comes. Nobody comes here. Then you're like, nobody even talks to me. My phone doesn't ring unless I'm spending money. Oh. Okay. Cool. I get it. Fine. All right. And some days pass, some weeks pass. And then one day in the night, Amy hears the alarm of the car go off, right? And she checks outside. So it's been like 2 months since he moved. And she decides that, you know what? I'm getting my life back. I'm getting my life back. So she gets a personal trainer to help her do what? Lose the weight. And she drops this weight, bro. She drops this weight in those 2 months, ne? She drops the weight. She drops like kgs upon kgs. Can't he? This guy was maybe also just overfeeding the girl because how? the way she dropped that weight. And now she was at a point where she was looking good. She was starting to feel good. You know, the clothes are loose and her face, the structure is coming and her beautiful green eyes are also coming and popping out, you know, because, Mugal is doing the things. She's a flex now. So Terry starts hearing that, like, yeah, like, oh, your wife looks good ever since, like, you guys got a divorce. Yeah. Because he signed the papers, ne? He's divorced. He's a free man. He went on to Facebook. I'm a free man. Free at last, thank God Almighty, we free at last. You know, so he's a free man. And he's having sex with anyone he wants, and he's drinking, and he's what, and he's what, and he's what, and he's what, and he's enjoying his life, right? And then eventually all those things start to stop, and then also the children's mothers, they want money, they want, like, you know. And it was easier when he was married, most now to Amy, because now it was a thing of, yes, it was a thing of, oh, okay. Yeah, I need you to top me up with 500 so I can send it to, you know, child support. And then she'll top up, you know. But now there's no Amy Moss now. And, you know, all his chicks, they want to do their hair. They want to do what? Now he's starting to miss on Amy, bruh. Starting to miss on Amy bad.
Save so much more in 2026 at WB. Get 1 liter Clover Ultra UHT milk for $19.99. 1 kg Top Score Instant Maize for only $23.99. 500 gram Bacomo Corn Flakes for only $29.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 sheet 1 ply toilet rolls for only $33.99. See more January specials at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
So he's starting to miss on Amy, right? And when he's starting to miss on Amy, he's really he's starting to miss on Amy, and then he starts so this night the car alarm goes off. So Amy is now getting her glow back, you know, Stella got her glow back, Stella is doing the thing, Stella's you know, like yeah, like she's, yeah, the girl, right? So, she hears the alarm go off and then she gets up because most now it's just her and the kids in the house and he didn't want custody. He's like, you can have them. I'm good. Thanks. Bachelor! And he's most a video guy. He's most go live on Facebook kind of guys. So, I'm a bachelor now. No wife, no kids. I'm just living my life. With his bald spots, but okay, cool. This time he's chasing 60 or whatever, but anyhow. Okay. So she goes outside, and then she notices his car driving off. So she's thinking that, okay, so this guy was most probably coming back to the house to steal my car. And I should change the locks because she was not anticipating that he's going to do anything like this because he was too happy to leave. He was too happy to sign the divorce papers. He was too happy. So she's not anticipating that this guy is going to come back and start doing funny things. So she's like, oh, okay. So he probably wants my car. So change the locks of the house, change the locks of the garage, change everything and life continues. So what happened was every single way she started going. So she goes to the service station. Her ex-husband's car is there. She goes to the toilet. Her ex-husband is in the corridor. She goes to the shop. Her ex-husband is also there. She goes to the hospital. Her ex-husband is there. She goes to work. She looks outside. Her ex-husband is there. He's just parked in the car. And it almost looked like he's stalking her. But we can't say it's stalking because he was very happy to sign the divorce papers. And he was very happy to be a bachelor. So maybe it's just a coincidence, right? So, Amy, this is month 3 after the divorce, right? Amy is talking a lot on the phone. So, phone calls are not going through, but she's like, yeah, she's talking to her mom, and she's talking to her sister, she's planning trips with her kids. Also, her oldest son came to visit, so Terry was the problem. her older son came to visit, and they are spending a lot of time together, and it's just beautiful pictures on Facebook, and you know, and he would comment like nasty comments under her pictures, yeah, like she ain't even all that, and you know, until like she decided, like, you know what, I'm gonna block this man and I'm gonna live my life. And at this point, she's losing kgs. Guys, there's nothing more beautiful than a woman that's determined to make things happen in her own life, right? There's nothing more beautiful than that. There's nothing more attractive, né, than a woman that is working on herself. And she's working on herself. And you know what? The more you work on yourself, right? The more you start to look good, the more pictures you start to take, you know, because your face also changes form. Now you're not that round cheek anymore. You know, you got cheeks. Like, whoa, is that a cheekbone? Like, whoa, is that a neck? Ooh, is that a collarbone? I see. Like, ooh, I like that. Like, ooh, when the bra start to get small. Like, yay! Then you know you're in the league when the breast start to get small and the waist is snatched, you know, and you ain't really been doing nothing except starving yourself because you're kind of depressed. Mara, it's kind of going because we're also kind of losing the weight and we're kind of feeling it. So it's all good, right? Sharp. So she's starting to look good. She's starting to feel good. Mara, she's also having a personal trainer. A personal trainer, is not letting her go. So Monday, he's calling 7:30. Go for a run. I'll find you at the end of the run. Don't take a car. Ooh, then she would run, right? But the problem is now she would run. And then people would say like, ooh, I saw Amy running. And that would mean like, okay. So she started walking everywhere. So she started walking everywhere because it's also part of like her weight loss journey. She started walking everywhere. So now this walking everywhere was most for the kgs to also go down. But it now became a problem because the more she started walking, the less she saw of her husband. And the more of like unknown numbers would be calling, like, yeah, where are you? You're not at the house. Oh, you mean to say all these days you're not going to work? What are you doing? You're just sleeping with other men in my house and what? Like, she would just get random texts like that. She doesn't know what's happening. So she's like, okay, whatever. Then her sister and her mom moved to Aries. Like, yay! Because Shimaliwa the Shako is there. And you know, Aries is also growing. I remember when Arandis was a peanut. Now it's a whole town. You know, it has so many lights. You're like, oh, extension. You know, I remember when Arandis was just a peanut, you know, like, now it's a whole thing. Like, oh, nice, so nice, you know, great stuff. So the town is almost now growing, and after all, she's been there for like, what, nearly 30 years. So the town is growing and the town is becoming bigger and there are more opportunities. So her sister and her mom, they move down to Aries and she starts living there. And the mom is basically pensioned already. Mara, the mom is like, oh, closer to the grandkids. And also I can help with babysitting and homework and all of that while you are going to your lawyer job there at the court. And I'm so proud of you. And everybody was happy that this divorce happened. Everybody's like, whoa, good evening.
Yes, good evening, Venetriachi.
Good evening, love of the nation. How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Happy New Year to you. New Year. Thank you so much.
26.
The year to be.
How is the year for the beginning?
The year is wonderful.
Fantastic and splendid.
Exactly. It is wonderful. It is beautiful. It is doing the things that's wonderful. What are your New Year resolutions, love of the nation?
New Year resolutions.
Uh-huh.
Okay. To live a life. Which is not much pay attention on expectations.
You don't want to expect then, nothing.
Then it will go about the life for us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That is my New Year resolution.
So you don't want to expect anything.
In order to protect my peace.
Okay, so you want to protect your peace this year?
Yes, peace it is a matter in a human's life.
Oh, okay.
No peace, no achievement for everything.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
It does not mean that I'm not expecting something in life. I expect it, but the reality. Either we are expecting it is good, but then a life flaws. A life which drives us even where we don't want to go. We have to accept it, then we can see a way to make a change through it. Because we were not born to prevent the burdens, but we were born to learn and grow above them. Oh, but I miss you, Nyangeman. What is your take on that?
The peace element, I honestly believe that that is a beautiful line to take, and that is a beautiful path and direction to take for the year, because also it eliminates so many things. It eliminates the expectations of others, situations, things. So if you expect nothing, then you do have a lot of peace, and then also you have a lot of joy, because no pain, right, that might come your way is going to be something that was expected or unexpected. It's just pain. And then when happiness comes your way, it's not something that was expected or unexpected. It's just happiness. Then you are fully surprised and you are fully happy.
Yes.
And then if both happen at the same time, oh well, let it be. But peace is essential.
Peace is a matter.
Yes, it does matter.
Which it means we need to learn something in life.
Yeah.
If we only spend a life without learning something, you will end up broke your heart by yourself. No one to broke your heart, but you. Yes, you are expecting. Yes, I'm trying this. Yeah, it is like you are expecting it, but it will not be the same the way you are expecting.
Yes.
But you cannot imagine. Maybe there is something. Maybe it wants to remind me with something, or there is a need of something. I need to do a certain change there. Instead of just stress, why maybe? Maybe my life, why maybe? God, why? We need also to learn something. Yeah, you learn something, then you can also able to live according to the life flaws. Yes. So that we can avoid the commitment of suicides.
Yeah.
Yeah. Avoid stressful among the nation.
So you don't want to be stressed anymore. You just want to live your life peacefully.
Yes, I want to protect my peace.
I want to protect my peace, friend.
Firstly, I want to know myself. When I know myself very well, then I can able to protect my peace and be able to render an assistance to others in life. Because there is no way to assist others in life while you are lacking of peace.
Yeah.
How can you assist others?
It's true.
Yes.
Yeah. You are absolutely correct.
You cannot assist others while you are lacking of peace. If you always compare yourself with others. Why maybe they are like this? Why maybe me, I'm just like this? But sometimes the situations and challenges we are always met.
Mm-hmm.
On other hand, it is a training for our survival of today
mm-hmm.
and in future.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot survive if you did not train.
Yes.
If you did not learn something, you will mm-hmm. never make any changes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's true.
If mm-hmm. you only stuck in negative imagination, why maybe this life are better to end it?
Mm-hmm.
Who told you that situation it is come to destroy your life?
Mm. Now who end their life in your presence? I know. What happened? What happened?
Oh, you are asking me?
I'm just
listening.
What happened?
No.
Mm.
No, such kind of things we need to eliminate it.
We must always just talk about it, even if nothing triggered us, ne?
Yes.
Okay, that's wonderful. I absolutely hear what you're saying.
Yes, we want a peaceful nation.
Of course we do. And I also want you to hold the line for me.
Yes.
Kungiriro con Karimo Keje, Eripe Villaeje, Mona Mipia, Raka Otaparandura Etseito Yasiman, Talizi Ku Miniseri Una Mata, I Kwahi Omea Netendoro Jevi, Naturi Porakene Nawa, Nukurita Ambazana, Na Negumbo Aeje, Ashinda Nukume, Natuholifi Pomkaro Hokoranda, Nokorandiza Evijaeje, Omoma Shikenvera. Ushoka, evijaehe mo Namibia, evije pangiro, no itali vurunandi okurandizo akuchane omunkaroni, ukukutha ombinga mirandizo jevijaehe, ushirima shaharipa veta, uveta etenduro jevijaehe, uvetonjitano yomvomo vigari nambari, uyindika thiru, ushirima shika, iranduri irandizo jevi shaharipa veta, umagero opa veta, una kuyona otashivurika peo egero jukufuta, nenge Zorongo, ukupia ganika umbiri moshiwana. Iranduzo nenge ukuranda evi jaehe otashivurika siete o tamana na devi oshowo umbanda moshiwana. Shoka wapumbwa kutzea wa shoshika. Evi jaehe ojeto ni atuheni. Ojo onzo mzoka zina ukutoporirwa sana no kuganja uwanawa ukefe umwe. Ukupatira po uthiga wetu. Mokusimaneka evi jaehe otatu ganja esimaneko jong. Kuruhe vivetu, no kugamine na po, on tingoroko wetu. Lopota ume nyungo gari paveta. Una wanzindirike ushimu kwa nima tashidumbirike, shanika ulingiringi wera ndizo jevijaehe, shiropota mbara kerero jupantinguru wakaro, ke uriko ngundumtima jevijaehe, nenge kombire wa yu ministeri pope pinangoe. Naturongere nikumwe, mukugamine na po onzo zetu jevijaehe, morwa ushi wana shoko mongura. Koneka kucha, itashikakara ushina kuwadifwa shu ministeri, mekaniso kehejevi jahoroka onga ushizemo shiranizo jevi jaehe, jaripaveta, zimburukwa. Evi jaehe, uyamba wapumba, naturigamine nepo nogulikarikapo, morwa uwa nawa wa kehegumwe, irongiro kumejwe otari pandurwa. Yetu mwara kantika jopa radio. Ujarungi kithwa neambilido Joshi Mariwa okuzake pangero jo Republika ya Namibia ne pangero jo Republika ya Ndoishi okupitira mumbanga yoma pendurepo yo KFW kujiride wagweba po kwa tathana nombire wa yu ministeri pope pinangoye nenge ombire wa yipambire yoshi wana mu ministeri unamata ikwahi omea ne tendururo jevi kono mwana yongo zi nora hamano imwe omirongo mbali omirongo hetatu na heri omirongo Jamano, none.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business in
Alrighty, good evening to you. If you please call back, Love of the Nation. The ad was very long, so I couldn't just keep you on the line for that long, but please do call back. The number in studio is 083-288-401. Okay. 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. Ladies and gentlemen, so we're talking about Terry. So our initial conversation is when is enough enough, right? When is enough enough? So she got to that point where enough was enough after 25 years. Now, one would be like, oh yeah, but why? Why are you leaving so late? Why? After 25 years? Oh my goodness. Why? But we don't ask people those questions. We don't. Because how, yeah, if you wanted to leave a relationship, you could have also just left it earlier. But you didn't. So, walakata, bam, bam. Walakanchani, waza, eh, skrr, skrr, eh, krr, krr, krr. You know? So, okay. So, anywho. So, the man starts getting edgy, man. Kucha, like, yeah, why are you just, acting funny? And why are you just hold that thought? My goodness. I have to find the story again in my mind.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Alrighty, so the husband starts calling, which, yeah, are you just walking everywhere now? Or like, are you just saying that you're just home, you don't go to work anymore, you're unemployed or what? And what? And she doesn't understand where this is all coming from. So she just decides that, you know what, I'm just gonna ignore this man, it's fine. Like, just, if you're gonna throw tantrums over there, it's all good, it's fine. I'm not gonna bother my soul with this. I'm not gonna bother my mind, my peace. Like Love of the Nation was talking about, his New Year resolution is, I want peace. I don't want any expectations of nothing. I just want peace. Peace, please. Because, whoa, I just want peace. And I resonate with him. Like, you know, I'm like, yeah, maybe. Maybe that should be our thing. Maybe he came through to give us a thing for 2026. I want peace. Peace is zero expectations of nothing. If somebody's going to do whatever they want to do, let them. If somebody's not going to do it, let them. You take care of you and you find your peace, okay? Be the star player in your show, okay? Be the anchor. Be the host. Be the leader. Maybe, just maybe. Okay. So, after that, she just decides that, I'm not going to entertain this. So I know number she's not answering. And then he would just start showing up at the house, you know. But because she walks everywhere, right? Because she's losing weight more. And it is a small town, but it has also started growing. So she decides that, you know, I'm going to be walking to work and just have a good deodorant and a towel, you know, like to freshen up when I get to work. And I'm going to be walking to the grocery shop, and I'm going to be, not unless I'm going to buy a lot of groceries, then I'll take the car. And eventually, you know, she's just walking everywhere. She's just walking everywhere, and a month goes by. So this is like 4 months after the divorce has been finalized, and they didn't fight or nothing because he was so happy to be a bachelor, right? So all good. After 25 years, it was just like, yeah, let's just sign. I'm just happy. Woo. Yeah. And she's like, are you sure? Like, yeah, I don't want nothing. I want out. Yeah. Ugh. You know? So I was like, oh, okay, cool. Thank you, Mr. Terese. All right. Ah, sharp. Okay, so she's walking everywhere, and he's just getting frustrated and frustrated, and he's calling, and then he's showing up at her workplace as well. You know, he's showing up at her workplace, but not showing up like he used to show up, like sit in the car and just babysit her like a stalker, you know? It was more like show up in the workplace to identify, to find out if she's there or if she's not there. Like, yeah, I'm looking for my wife. Like, who's your wife, sir? Because as far as we know, only your ex-wife is here. So not unless you got married to somebody else, but you don't have a wife here, you only have an ex-wife here. Like, yeah, I'm looking for my wife, Amy. And then Amy would come, like, you're looking for me. Like, oh, so what? Like, you bought another car or what? You know, and she's going on about the car, man. Like, oh, you bought another car, so you just come to work with another car or what? Like so you're at work. And she didn't understand. She's like, yeah, where else would I be? Like, what's up? So after work, she would most now walk to the tennis court and go and do her boot camp. You know, she usually does the boot camp things with other people. And sometimes the personal trainer also just trains her. Because she was determined to get back to Miss Universe body. She was determined, guys. She was determined. And to be honest, she was looking amazing. She was looking amazing. She was looking good. She was looking fresh. She was looking scrumptious, chummy. Scrumptious. She was starting to look scrumptious. And even Terry, when he saw her, is like, you know, like he took a step back, like, whoa, this is some fire. But I'm never going to tell her that because we hate each other now more. So yeah, let me continue fighting. And she's also, you know, her clothes don't fit anymore. So she had to buy new clothes. So she looks nice. And she's, you know, she's getting back on her feet, man. She's looking like a hun now, you know. She's looking like those huns that were like, she can get it. She can get it. And she's happier also. Like, yay. She's all giggly there. She's like happy, you know. Happy-go-lucky. Happy charm, you know. The hafa, you know, like, you know, beautiful. So, okay, so he starts complaining and what. So one day, so they're having a family gathering, and not really a family gathering, her mother and her sister come over, and she decides that, only her sister comes over and her mother is at home. So she decides like, oh no, yeah, right now I have to go to the grocery shop because I have to go and withdraw money because I need to pay my personal trainer. I need to pay him, you know, I need to pay him because he's been helping me, and also you don't want to be holding other people's money hostage. What if I end up using it? And she's an honest chick, you know, she's an honest woman. And she drives out, she leaves the sister with the kids, and then she drives out because it was also getting late and she couldn't just walk because it was about to get to become night time. Eh? So she goes. Good evening.
Yes, I only find myself out of the air.
Yes, because the advertisement was 4 minutes long. So I didn't want you to, I didn't want you to just keep holding for 4 minutes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I was surprised.
No, I also didn't, look at how many minutes the ad was going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Had I known, I would have told you to call back.
It's like this, Then my end point was, we need a peaceful nation. Yes. Not only about suicide.
Yeah.
But even, even commitment of other violence among the nation.
Yes.
People are killing each other.
Mm.
People are assaulting other people.
Yes.
All of that result of lacking of peacefully minded, peacefully heart, due to much expectation. Because a person did not get what he or she was expecting, the only result is frustration and depression.
Yeah.
Then misbehave to others. So we need to protect our peace. Let us not pay much focus on expectation, but let us go with the life flow. Yes. Yeah. Let us learn something. Let us learn something.
Yeah.
I hope you will need to continue with something.
Well, I think that you have said everything that is necessary, and we are also looking for a slogan for this year. So I was thinking of be kind, but I think zero expectations and peace should be our slogan, because last year we had what? Trust the process, right? That's what we were saying the whole year. Trust the process, trust the process, trust the process. So this year, I think it's zero expectations and keep your peace.
Yeah, zero expectations, keep your peace.
Yes, zero expectations, keep your peace.
Keep your peace.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
if we have zero expectations, then nothing can hurt us and nothing can also derail us.
Yes. When I'm thinking about expectation, just like the dream.
Yeah.
If it is true, it is true.
Yeah.
Sometimes it will be not true. It is just according to what you were thinking or you were worried about.
Yes.
Yeah. Some it is true. Some it will never be true. Yeah. You are expecting like the matriarch is my number one in life. Yes. It will be possible.
Yes.
But if she refused to be your number one, and you only expecting, it will be affect the bigger part of your life. Yes. Zero expectation.
Keep your peace.
Keep your peace.
Of course.
Yes.
Thank you so much, love of the nation.
Thank you so much, Demetriac. May God bless you.
May God bless you and keep you.
Yes, keep on waiting for your awards.
Oh, thank you so much. I can't wait for my awards also.
Yes,
you guys must nominate
me,
man. Must put me on.
That dream, it will be the truth.
Ne?
Yes.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Where are you calling from? Are you at home? Where are you calling from?
I am, yes, I'm at home. I did not finish what I wanted to.
Okay, continue, please. Sorry.
Yeah, 2024.
Aye. 2024.
Yes.
You go 2026,
huh? Let me tell you.
Okay,
story.
Fine. Yes, please tell me. I'm jumping the gun. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm
expecting too much. That's why I don't have peace.
Listen. I was dreaming about the elephant crossing our villages.
Yeah.
Then I dreamed that dream. I even throw it away. Like, we are here. We are far from the forest. Mm. How can the elephant will cross on with our villages? How it will be happen?
Mm.
Seriously, last year.
Mm-hmm.
The elephant is coming.
Really?
Last year, have you ever the elephant which was slaughtered at this northern park?
Yes.
That elephant just cross our villages.
Mm-hmm.
Then I start to remember that man.
I dreamt this.
It means that dream is what it was just the truth.
Yes, dreams do come true, Mboli.
I was just taking it yesterday, simple word. I was just, no, how can you refer to will come here? Turimo katiko shirongo kamo nakutio, makuti eriko kure, ta is not penny turipo katiko shirongo. Okay. Good night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good night, my friend.
All right. See you next time.
See you tomorrow.
All right.
All right. So, my dear, what a wonderful day we are having, are we not?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager. Wherever you are.
Eagle FM, let you express your constitution.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so Terry and Amy are getting into it, right? Like it's like a wild thing now. Like he's just showing up and he's doing funny things. Like I'm showing up. So she decides that she's leaving the kids at home and she's quickly going to pay her personal trainer. So she gets into the car. And then she drives off, she goes to the personal trainer. And the personal trainer is like at the shop. So, you know how your shops are, ne? So, the personal trainer is in front of the shop. It is not at a funny place. It is not like a secret lover. And even if it was a secret lover, it's none of his business. They are divorced, right? But, anyhow. And it has been 5 months, 6 months at this point. So, so she wanted to say like, no, my ex-husband is harassing me, but she didn't really want to make a fuss about it because, ever since she started walking, he's not really been harassing her anymore. Yeah. And also the question was like, doesn't this man go to work? Like, so like he used to be never home. Now all of a sudden he can stay outside of your office for 10 hours. Eh? Just checking who you're going to be talking to. Who you gonna be talking to and who you gonna be doing what with and what stalker vibes. So she goes and then she's paying. She's finally doing what? She's paying the personal trainer. Now when she's paying the personal trainer, Chomi, there
Her ex-husband pulls up. Pull up on some old school Bobby and his whole crew. We set it off. Like, baby, we will come through. The game got us all shook. Doing what you won't do. If you ain't got at least a couple fans, then you ain't cool. We don't fuss. We don't bite. Only when the bite rhymes. All the scats get it. Nine lives. Like I said, I start the song and then I remember there are cuss words in the song. Now I just sound weird. Don't got girls a bane, don't got girls a bane. Tempting keen, don't got girls a bane, don't got girls a bane. Here come she's, please pull out the way, we pull out to slay. Skirt, skirt, don't got girls a bane, don't got girls a bane. Drop it low, 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 drop it low, 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 drop it low, low. You know, I can't wait for Saturday all of a sudden. Like, what day is that? No, it's that. I'm like, hey, Saturday, new dad. Like, yay, 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 yay. Because enough is enough. Enough is enough. All right. So she is paying personal trainer there at the parking lot in front of Paints, for example. Then her husband pulls up, like, pull up. And he's pulling up, like, and he's pulling up with two guns and ammunition. Like, he pulls out the guns. Like, yo, what's up? Like, hey, so what are you doing here? Like, how? Like, first of all, this is a shop. Say, what would I be doing at the shop even if I was at the shop? Secondly, you can see the envelope that I am giving this man. But also, it's none of your business, sir, honorable. What's the problem? Hi, this guy, he opens fire. You know what? Before we get there, like, I wanna paint the scene, you know? I wanna paint the scene a little bit. And I wanna give you guys the theatrics. Ooh, I wanna paint the scene and give you guys theatrics a little bit. But, alright, I hope this is not gonna,
The following audio might be triggerous for sensitive viewers. Please be alert.
Papa, pa is Terry, bro. Papa, 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 pa is Terry. Bruh, Papa is Terry, bruh, is Terry, bruh. Everybody's running now at this point. He's like, Terry, stop. Oh my god, he's got a gun, he's gonna shoot us. Woo! The other guy is like, oh my god, run. This woman's ex-husband is trying to shoot us and finish us here at Bain's. And it's because I have a hot body. And no, Terry is shooting, friends. It's like, oh, run everyone. Hey. The other one is in the background, he's like, no. Terry, stop! Woo! Run! Hi, guys. Hi, guys. How you guys doing? I hope you guys are not startled by my things, you know. I hope you guys are not startled by, you know, my theatrics and stuff. Like, but, yeah, that's what's going down. And on top of what's going down, it's going down and it's going down bad. It's like, it's going down bad. It's like, yo, Terry is busy, guys. Terry is busy. He's shooting up the parking lot. He's shooting up everywhere. It's just crazy. Everybody is like, no, man in the car.
or their man with a gun. Don't stop that. Please stop. No. The man is on that. No. You're sleeping with my wife. I want my wife back. My family. And that's an AK-47, right? And keep in mind. And then this is it. Oh no, Terry. He's just shooting all over the place and everybody's just running. Terry, stop! Stop! Amy is running for her life because she's hot now. Now she can run, right? So she's running and she's like, woo, Terry, stop! And he's just pulling out magazine after magazine after magazine. It's just gunshots or pure shots of bazookas and AKs. Bring your A game for Lieutenant May, I heard him say. And that's just once I felt my heart beat. And then break into a million pieces, tell you, stay like, grrr. Woo! Terry! And this is just Terry shooting aimlessly at everyone. He's shooting at the personal trainer. He's shooting at Amy. He's shooting. Running behind them, you know, because he's also a senior citizen. He's not running very, very fast. So he's running. Oh! Sniper, sniper, sniper. Scorpion. It's a Glock. And he puts out the Glock. So at this point, the personal trainer runs behind, you know, behind a little guy corner, and this is like what it sounds like. 911, what's your emergency? Well, there's a crazy, my client's ex-husband is trying to shoot us all here. So please come and find us. We are here at Gaines, and this man is, I think he's going crazy or something because he's just following us with guns and he's got so many guns. Please hurry, hurry, hurry. So he finally like escapes and then he calls the police, right? And this is like a level A or one kind of crime. So it's crime in progress. The whole police is out there. They are running. Which side are you? And what? So they like the man is now talking on the phone. Was like, ah, no, we are this side. We are in an alley now. Or I ran this side and then the wife ran the other side because, you know, like we had to separate because he was going to kill us. And then he shot me in the leg and. So now at this point, the police is like, okay, we got it. We're on. The police is on it, like, ooh, we got it, we're on. Fine. So this is what happens, right? Terry finally catches up with Amy, you know, because, you know, the weight loss was only a few months. She was not like that fast, you know. She was faster than she used to be, but not that fast, you know. And today Terry wore his belt, so his pants was not hanging, it was not falling off, nothing. He was very fast and slow at the same time. Senior citizen syndrome also. Was in the mist, but you know, I think she tripped and then she fell. And these were the last sounds. So ladies and gentlemen, that was a Glock, right? There are two types of Glocks, but that was a Glock. And then the last one was an IMI, a Desert Eagle, you know, like, so he's pulling out all these firearms, you know, I don't even know where he kept all of these firearms on his body, but yeah, he's pulling out all these firearms, right? Like it's rounds upon rounds upon rounds upon rounds. And he, those were the last shots, you know, so like, and then, in the midst of this, he's like, yeah, look what you made me do. It's your fault. Yeah, Amy, you suck. Like, no, Amy, and what? Like, yo, brah. So this guy runs off. And then, he runs off, And he gets into his truck and he runs off, and then the guy calls the police while he's just trying to go and get to Amy most now. The personal trainer is trying to go and get to Amy. While he's like running towards Amy's side, the guy comes back again. Like, yo, this guy comes back again. And he comes back and then... So, like in total, these are like 350 rounds. Of ammunition, like, yo, 350 rounds of ammunition everywhere. And I don't know, Gun City is a tough city, but Gun City is not a nice city. It's a tough city. So he comes back and, you know, final shots, and then he pulls off and then he's gone. So at this point, personal trainer is like, I'm not going to get out of here. I'm not going to find no Amy. After all, this 700 for this boot camp is not even all that. Like, I'm not finna die. And I ain't even smashing. Bruh, she's not even interested in me. And I'm not interested in her. And this is just a crazy man. And I'm not going to get killed because of no 700. I'm out. So this guy runs away. He's like, ah, nah. Ooh, no, I'm out. So he runs away, and the police finally get there, and they get there to a scene and a half, right? Like, and it's a bad scene. Like, for those that are sensitive to this, like, yeah, this is the part of the story that might touch you, you know, that might touch your heart. But bear with me. Okay. So the police get there and it's no ambulance needed, of course, because you heard what went down there. You heard, like, ah, no one can survive that. Like, you heard. It's a Glock. It's an AK-47. It's another Glock. It's an Eagle. It's like, it's a IMI Desert Eagle. It's like, you, ah, ooh. It's an MP-412 Rex. Ah, woo, 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 woo. So nobody was kind of surviving that. So at this point, right, it just so happens that Amy called her mom prior, right? And said, like, I just have a weird feeling today. Like, it's just one of those days. I just have a weird feeling. Like, I don't feel myself today. Like, I have a weird feeling today. It's weird, but okay. I have a weird feeling today. Like, okay. And the mother's like, ah, no, it's probably nothing. It's probably indigestion. You must drink NO and Gaviscon. You know, because mothers always think it's, you have a weird feeling. Ah, it's your stomach is paining. Huh? No. Like, I have a weird feeling, like, I have a weird feeling. Ah, turamaru oka mongwa mokoka. Like, I have a weird feeling. Turakwaka fondoro. Like, bro, I have a weird feeling. So anyhow, so she called her mother prior to that, like 30 minutes before this went down. And then her mom has been trying to call, but the number is just going to voicemail. Burp, burp, you've reached the voicemail of 08-3-2-8-8-8-4-0-1. Please leave your message after the beep. Beep! You know? And she's trying to call. And at some point, you know, the police gets a hold of, the personal trainer called, and the personal trainer is like, yo, man, so your sister was coming through to come pay me my money, right? And her ex-husband done pulled up, right? And when this guy done pulled up, he just pulled out with gats, bruh. He pulled out gats and clocks and AKs and everything. He came looking like a military dude, right? And he just opened fire, bruh. Opened fire, and I'm so sorry to be the one that's telling you this, but it happened right now at Baines and what. So the sister gets into the car and then she drives off. She drives off into the night, you know. She even leaves the kids at home alone. Like, I'm coming now, guys. You guys just better protect yourselves, okay? I'm going to my sister. Close the doors, guys. Close the doors. And he didn't necessarily say that. He didn't say that she passed on. He just said, like, oh, the situation bad, because the guy just pulled out with a Glock. Pulled out with a couple of Glocks and stuff, okay? So the sister gets there, and she gets there, like, in 5 minutes. You know, like in 3 minutes, Shandy's. She gets there and there is nothing. Like, she's not, like, the police has not started preparing yet. They haven't even started putting up the yellow things. You know, those yellow tags for crime scene number 6, number 7. And they, because the shell casings were a lot. So they were like, 110, 305. You'd like, you know, and, there she was. There was Amy laying in a blood, in a pool of blood, tears and, you know, gunshots. And that was the end of her life. And, so everybody's now out here. And the worst part is that, no, it wasn't the personal trainer. Sorry, man. It wasn't the personal trainer. Chomis, let's just retract. It wasn't the personal trainer that called. Guess who called the sister? The sister was called by Terry. Terry is like, oh yeah, I killed your sister. I'm so sorry. I killed your sister. Like, like, yeah, it was bad. You know, I shot her a couple of times. I don't know if she's gone or not, but like, you know, please find out if she's okay. How? Please find out if she's okay. So the sister goes there, there's no okay there, and she's not even in a body bag yet, and you know, the sister is screaming, and she calls the mother, and then the mother's like, yo, what's up? And it's like, no, Terry killed her, you know, and yay, the mother comes, and the crime scene is not processed yet, so her body's just out in the open. They finally, you know, cover her and, you know, barricade so that it's not pictures all over social media and stuff, and Facebook was also coming up that time. It was a thing that time, so it was hectic, so they were covering up, and guys. Was bad, you know, it was bad, and with the badness, everybody was crying and everybody was just overwhelmed. And so after like an hour, right, guess who shows up to the crime scene? Because it's so many bullets. Like, people are going to stay there the whole day, right? Because we have to count every single one and we have to figure out what happened and we have to start investigating. So he shows up, right? Terry. He shows up and he's like, oh my God, what happened to my wife? Like, what? What happened to my wife? Who did this to my wife? Oh my goodness. Who did this to my wife? Like, bro. Now the police officers, highly confused, because like there was a miscommunication. It wasn't like ex-husband, you know, it was more like a black guy killed a white woman. So they're like, how do you know the victim, you know? And like, she's my wife. Like, okay. So at the time that he got there, you know, to ask what happened to him, is she gonna be okay, my wife, you know, is my wife okay, you know, they're not telling him anything. So one of the detectives goes to the building across the street, because they have a CCTV camera. So he gets that footage, and then in the footage, behold, Esteri self, that her club that met clumpy guns, it's a Terry. Then you are coming to ask us if the person is okay. It's a Terry. 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 How? Terry. Idea. So at this point, the video camera comes, and then the cops are like, oh, we at Tangwemwene, let's arrest you. And then when he gets arrested, he's like, oh no, I didn't mean to, man. I did something bad. But he's not saying I murdered her. So it's like, oh, I did something bad to her. I did bad to her. But he's not really talking about what he did. So no incrimination, what. And then he goes there, and then he goes there saying that, like, yeah, I didn't really pull up with so many guns and stuff. I always carry guns because, you know, this is Texas. We all carry guns. So, I found her there, and then she was fighting. So she got my gun, and then she was about to shoot at me, and then I ducked, and then I got my gun back, and then I shot her in self-defense. So that was his argument there when he's being videographed, and then he's talking like, yeah, man. So she just wanted to kill me, and he turned the whole story around. And like, at this point, nobody's telling him that there are surveillance cameras. Nobody's saying anything. They're just letting him talk. Yeah, she tried to kill me. So I just shot her once, and then I ran away. And, you know, because she's violent and she's what and she's what. And then another, like, 2 days later, so the case, like, gets, like, completely cold. So he's put in custody, and then he's let out on bail for, like, $10,000. So he's walking around, and he's living his life. He's let out on bail. And then when he's let out on bail like that, another footage comes through where now we can see, like, the angle where we can see what he's doing and how outraged he was and all of that. And then, yeah. So that's why we're asking the question. So that's how it ends for Amy. And that is how it ends for many Namibian women and men. Mm? That's how it ends. Where you figured out enough is enough, right? And you wait too long. And you hesitate. And when you hesitate, Kanti, the way he was asking you so you don't go to work and whatnot, Kanti, there was a whole tracking device in her car. That's how he knew that she was not home. That's how he knew where she's going. That's how he knew where to find her that day, because he put a tracking device. So this story in itself is to scare you. And also to allow you to see, because there were red flags. Yeah. Let's just start with the age difference there. There were red flags, 20 year old, 37. Yeah. And the name calling and the what and the what. There were red flags. And when is enough enough for you? Chomi, when is enough enough for you? And how do you know enough is enough for you? I'm just asking. I'm asking for a friend. I'm asking for a relative.
Save so much more in 2026 at WB. Get 1 liter Clover Ultra UHT milk for $19.99. 1 kg Top Score Instant Maize for only $23.99. 500 gram Bacomo Cornflakes for only $29.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 sheet 1 ply toilet rolls for only $33.99. See more January specials at Wurmanbrock.com. We care.
Alrighty. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today we're talking about enough being enough. When is enough enough in a relationship? Unreciprocated efforts. One, unreciprocated efforts may be an identifier of enough being enough. Okay? So, unreciprocated effort. So, when you are doing all the effort, Chomi, yeah, it's most probably enough now. You're the only one making things work, or your partner doesn't try to meet your needs. Yeah, that's when you know enough is enough. Repeated boundary violation. So you set your boundaries. We're talking about standards and preferences yesterday. And you set your boundaries. No. I don't want this. I don't like that. Please, no, stop this. And then this person continuously steps over those boundaries every time. Steps over those boundaries. It's like they don't hear you. And you are trying to be the nice guy, right? You're trying to be the guy that's not like bashing people, you know, and insulting people. I'm just saying, I really don't like that, and I really didn't appreciate that. Like, you know, no, but still, yeah, I'm gonna keep doing it. Repeated boundary violation. And the next one is number 3, walking on eggshells. You dread their presence or feel constantly anxious around them, with them, up them, under them, whatever, with them. And that's when you know, it has sailed, man. Like when you're like, oh, you're like, oh, I now have to go to the office to be with them, you know? I now have to do this to do that. Or I have to go home now to go and do this. Like, or I have to subat now, and I have to, you know. And that is one identifier. And then loss of hope. Loss of hope. You love them, but have lost hope they'll change. Or you feel trapped and unhappy. That's how you know kucha enough is enough. You feel trapped and unhappy. You love them, but you have lost all hope in them ever changing in their lives. You're walking on eggshells. You dread their presence. You feel constantly anxious. Repeated boundary violations. They don't respect your boundaries. They cross your boundaries constantly all the time, and they don't care about it. And then unreciprocated efforts. You are the only one that is trying. You're the only one that is trying to make things work. That is how you know kucha. Apa, enough is enough. Now, A. Now, will love save your relationship or not? Like I said, I'm just asking for your mom. I'm asking for your cousin. I'm asking for your friend. I'm asking for you. I'm asking for you, darling. Will love save your relationship? Or is love enough for your relationship? Because many of us like to lie. Love is not enough. Respect is needed. Trust is needed. You know, all these other nice things are needed in order to make love work. So, we are figuring out when is enough enough. But before that, right, we are going to go into a lecture by a gentleman that I love. His name is Jimmy. By a gentleman that I like so much, and I love this guy so much because he talks nice things, and you know, he encourages the male species to change, and I like that. I like it when male on, sorry. I like it when men talk to other men, please, so that the male species can change. But we as Eagle Media House, we as Eagle FM, do not claim any ownership of the clip that we're about to play. It's strictly for listening purposes. Enjoy.
I can tell you with complete certainty that love isn't going to be enough to save your relationship. Intimacy requires so much more than I love you. There are countless relationships out there with partners who say they love each other, and yet the way one or both of them is intentionally or unintentionally showing up will only lead to the death of that relationship. Saying I love you isn't enough. Love isn't simply a feeling. It's an action. It takes effort and intentionality and sacrifice. Frankly, I don't even care that you love someone. Anyone with a pulse and a brain can fall in love, but it takes a lot more than words or feelings to stay in love, doesn't it? You want to set your relationship up for success? Then watch this video with your partner and ask them, what do you agree or disagree with? I don't care if you agree with my definition of love. The important thing is that you both agree how you believe love should be demonstrated in a relationship. Because far too often, we don't have those conversations because we're too scared, or our partner isn't even safe enough to have difficult conversations with. But that doesn't mean that our needs and expectations go away in that silence or avoidance. We still become resentful and distant and hurt when they don't show up for us in the way we're showing up for them, right? And that makes sense. I would be frustrated too. I'm a firm believer that relationships only work when two people are putting in the work. So that begs the question, what is the work? That's what this video is about. The work is humility. Love is humble. That means I don't think I'm better than anyone else. Love is empathetic. Remember, this is someone you say you love. Let's act like it. Seek to understand their feelings. A correct understanding of feelings isn't going to push you farther apart. It's going to bring you closer together and strengthen your bond, because they will consider you someone that they can turn to when they're hurt. And that's what you want. The work is sacrifice and selflessness. What is love if it's not sacrificing for those we care about, right? Love is about protecting this relationship. And there's a lot of men that understand provide and protect. And yes, that's very loving of you. But we miss the mark when we don't finish the task. Providing and protecting doesn't just mean a paycheck and ammo in the house. You are much more valuable than that. It means meeting someone's emotional needs. It means connecting with another person on a heart level where you decided, I want to be a safe place for you, not just physically, but emotionally as well. And we'll talk about more what that looks like in just a minute. Loving someone means accepting their influence, as Dr. John Gottman would say. That means if they tell us something, even if we don't agree with it initially, we love them enough to give them the benefit of the doubt and at least consider, maybe there's some truth here. Maybe this isn't criticism that I need to dismiss or defend and call them crazy. Maybe this is constructive feedback that can help me. I'm not saying that's always true. I'm saying let's not default to that's stupid. Let's default to, tell me more. Why would we do that? Because this is someone we're supposed to trust. And if you trust someone and they give you feedback, you should listen, right? And for someone who's about to comment, well, that won't work with narcissists, you're 100% right. None of this will work with a narcissist because narcissists have no interest in or capability of actual love. All they care about is control and manipulation. They aren't doing anything out of love. Even if they treat you right, they're only doing that so it will benefit them later somehow. So you're absolutely right. This stuff doesn't work with narcissists because narcissists aren't interested in love. Because love is about mutual respect and equality, right? You can't tell me you love someone, but you're putting them in unsafe environments. Don't tell me you love someone, but you look down your nose at them, or you treat them like they're inferior, or you disrespect them as a person, or you dominate over them. That's not an equal partnership. And in a loving romantic relationship, you're meant to be equals. And we both need to admit out loud to our partner that your perspective and your opinions and your needs and feelings and desires and dreams are just as important as mine. Have you ever told them that? Because you need to. There is no room for calling them names, calling them stupid, mocking them, making fun of them, telling them how needy they are, or telling them how irrational their feelings are. The truth is, the only reason that we would ever say that is because we believe we're right and they're wrong. I mean, let's just think about it. We say, you're being too sensitive. But who made us the judge of what too sensitive is? Well, we did, right? We know best, and they're just being immature. We don't see their perspective as equal. We see it as inferior and irrational. We feel justified to tell them that they're wrong. And that's the perfect way to destroy all the connection with someone and push them out of your life while still maintaining a narrative in your head that you've always loved them. And during part of this video, you're both probably going to think to yourself, uh-oh, I've done some of those things to my partner. What am I supposed to do now? You apologize. Love apologizes. Love takes accountability and responsibility. Love gets curious about how your behavior has impacted them. And then you say, I'm so sorry. How can I repair this? None of this has anything to do with perfection. Love isn't about perfection. It's about direction. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. We all have areas where we need to mature in. The difference is mature people take accountability for messing up, and they care about and acknowledge and validate the impact their actions had on their partner. Immature people avoid the subject altogether or blame someone else, including you, for their own hurtful behaviors. Which one do you think love requires of us? If you forget everything else from this video, just remember this. Love considers. I can solve all your relationship problems with one concept. Consider each other deeply and intentionally. Place their needs for safety and love and connection and closeness on par with yours and sometimes above. And you'll say, but Jimmy, that will just lead to me being taken advantage of. Not if they're doing the same thing. Not if you're in a loving, reciprocal relationship. Hard to take advantage of someone while you're serving them. And vice versa. And I get it. Most of us aren't in a reciprocal relationship, but that doesn't change the fact that it's necessary, right? I mean, let's just be honest. If you're not in a reciprocal relationship, then you know the pain associated with that, don't you? You know the loneliness. You know the frustration. You know the emotional disconnection. You understand the bitterness and the resentment, and you've tried everything. You've asked, you've begged, you've tried to find the right words, but they just aren't willing to show up in the same way that you are. And that proves the point. This doesn't work unless both of you are putting in the work. Love and self-centeredness don't mix, right? You won't feel close or connected to someone who only thinks about themselves. And you won't feel safe with someone who doesn't care to prioritize you. And I'm not saying that we need to view this person as more important than we are. I'm simply saying that when someone only tends to think about themselves and doesn't actively consider their partner's needs, wants, and desires, that relationship will fall apart because that's the only outcome. Here's another way we consider them. Do you care about their boundaries? Do you care about their limits, their guardrails, their non-negotiables? Do you know about their sexual boundaries? Because love doesn't coerce or pressure, right? Love wants to know where they feel overextended and burdened. Love wants to know their boundaries around conflict. Have you ever asked? And do they even consider you a safe person to tell that to? I know so often we don't think about this kind of stuff, but let's just ask ourselves, if loving someone means caring, how can we care about someone if we don't even know them? We have millions of people out there who say they love their partner, but when we ask their partner if they feel valued and loved and prioritized, they say no. And sure, we can just blame the partner for being the type of person who wouldn't be satisfied in any scenario. That's possible, but it's also possible that we have millions of people who aren't serving their partner, who aren't considering their partner, or they are serving them, but only in ways that they want to. It's not actually filling their partner's love tank. Once again, the whole thing breaks down if you're only thinking about yourself. You don't have to buy into the science of love languages to understand the concept. We all feel loved and valued in different ways. Love says, I want to know your ways. I want to fill your love tank. I want to make deposits into your emotional bank account instead of withdrawals. And then we ask them, what helps you feel prioritized specifically? What helps you feel valued and desired? And then we serve them in those areas consistently. We check in weekly and we ask the hard questions. Did you feel connected this week? What did we get right? What are some things that we need to improve upon? What's something that you're excited about? What's an area that I can support you next week? Were there any feelings that you were afraid to share with me? Don't tell me you love someone, but you refuse to ask those questions because there's something else there that we need to explore. There's some fear or shame or maybe laziness. All of those can destroy a relationship. We can be so afraid to start a conflict that we stay quiet and silently hate them over time until we eventually leave, right? That didn't solve anything. Or we can feel so much shame that we always think we're the problem and we keep our mouths shut out of fear of saying the wrong thing or being used against us. But in doing so, we're never actually vulnerable with our partner and they consistently complain that we're cold or distant till they eventually leave. Or we can get so complacent and lazy, we don't prioritize the relationship like we did back when we were dating because we think that stage is over. It's not. And I get it. You're saying, but Jimmy, life is so stressful and kids are so stressful. My job is so demanding. I get that. And there's something to be said for working hard and raising a family. But I'm just warning you, if you're putting in a lot of effort and intentionality into your job and kids, but your partner feels chronically neglected because you're only giving them your leftovers, you're going to have a lot more time on your hands soon because you won't have a relationship to worry about. At the end of people's lives, they finally come to the realization that the most important thing in their life was their most important relationships. Do me a favor and your future self a favor and invest in yours today. I promise it will pay more dividends than your 401k. We would never neglect our job and expect to see results, but we constantly think we can put our relationship on autopilot and it's just going to be fine. I can tell you from personal experience, when you get lazy for long enough, the plane crashes. So we have to learn how to communicate. Love communicates, right? But communication alone isn't the goal. Comprehension is, understanding is, validation is, and connection is. We love each other by being respectful and vulnerable in our communication. We honor each other in the way we express our feelings or concerns or hurts or desires without criticism or blame or shame. And also how we receive those moments with validation and empathy and understanding from our partner. That's the goal. Most of us didn't grow up in safe environments where communication and listening and empathy were taught. So many of us suffer from some trauma, and that makes communication really difficult and triggering for us. But here's what I know. What happened to us wasn't our fault, but healing from it and learning how to not get triggered every time our partner brings up a concern or hurt is our responsibility. It's not optional. We can't say on one hand, we want a mutually fulfilling, mutually respectful relationship where there's intimacy and trust and connection and passion. But on the other hand, we're not willing to put in the work to achieve or maintain those in a relationship. And I'm not going to be able to go into everything that's required for communicating. I've got some other videos on conflict, so go check those out if you want to do a deep dive on that. The point I'm trying to make is that love creates a safe place for honesty and vulnerability to show up. To love someone means to invite and encourage them to be honest about their inner world. I'm not saying we should complain all the time about our partner. Dr. John Gottman says our ratio still needs to be 15 to 1. That means on average, we should be trying our hardest to fill our time together with appreciation and affection and admiration and compliments and gratitude and smiles and hugs and laughs. But that doesn't mean the goal is to never complain. Complaints and sharing concerns or hurts is actually vital to the health of your relationship. That's what builds the most trust because we're always asking ourselves, can I go to this person when I'm hurt? Do they care about my inner world? Love establishes a climate of emotional safety. That means I can hold space for your pain. I can lean in when you're hurt. I can ask questions and clarify and repeat back your experience because I'm listening and you matter to me. And of course it matters how they bring something up and express an actual feeling. Not, I feel like you're a jerk, or I feel like you're a selfish narcissist. Not, I feel like all this is my responsibility. You're so lazy. Those aren't feelings. I'm saying if they brought up an actual feeling, Like when I'm left to clean the kitchen every night, like I've done this week, I feel rejected. I feel overlooked. I feel frustrated. How do we respond in those moments? Because love listens and gets curious. Love tries to understand their perspective before blurting out our own. This isn't about agreeing with their accusations. That's why I said the way they bring things up is still vital. But far too often, from what I've seen, even if our partner brings up a negative feeling respectfully and vulnerably, it's so easy to get triggered and see it as an attack, right? So we defend, we push back, we interrupt, we escalate. Hey, I'm not the bad girl. I'm not the bad guy here. I do all this other stuff. Why are you nagging me about the kitchen? We end up telling them that they're too sensitive or they shouldn't feel that way, which only makes them feel more abandoned and rejected than when they started the conversation. And it makes them less likely to bring things up in the future, which doesn't strengthen our bond over time. It actually destroys it. To truly love someone means to invite and encourage them to share their inner world, including their hurts and desires and needs, without dismissing, mocking, or neglecting them. Don't tell me you love someone and that you care deeply about them, but you don't even care to know them on a deep, intimate level. And don't tell me you want to be loved, but you refuse to share your inner world with someone. I get it. You're terrified of being vulnerable. Me too. But this whole thing comes crashing down when we refuse to be vulnerable and or when someone punishes our vulnerability. Anyone can feel close and connected during the good times, but it's actually possible to feel close and connected during the rough times as well. But only if you've both established a history of trust and respect and consideration together. At the end of the day, loving someone means building commitment and trust with them. And trust and commitment aren't simply not cheating on your partner. You can stay with the same person for decades and never cheat, but still break trust in 100 smaller ways. Building trust means consistently showing up and following through, and that my partner feels like they can rely on me. They can trust that I'll be there for them when they need me. I won't push them away when they try to get close, and I won't punish their vulnerability. That doesn't mean losing our autonomy, guys, or our independence. This doesn't mean accepting everything about our partner. This doesn't mean abandoning your own needs and boundaries either. It means we are building something together. We are prioritizing and protecting our bond together. But in order to do that, we need safety in the relationship. We need mutual respect. We need to communicate. We need consistency and intentionality. Commitment doesn't simply mean staying with someone. Plenty of people stay together in miserable, unhealthy, unfulfilling relationships. That's not love. I want real commitment from both of you. That means intentionally growing and deepening our relationship together. I'm not saying that relationships are supposed to be this thing that require a massive amount of work to sustain. I'm saying anything worthwhile requires effort and sacrifice, right? You trained for that marathon. You rebuilt that car. You studied for that degree or license. You started at the gym. You saved money for retirement. Did that take discipline? Did that take effort and sacrifice consistently? Absolutely it did. And most of you would say it was worth the sacrifice, right? Your relationship is the same way. Now, we don't have the same passion for our relationship work as we do those other things. We don't sacrifice for our relationship like we do in the gym or for our job or even our kids. But make no mistake, your relationship is one of the most important aspects of your life. And I just want all of us to take this seriously because it's not a given. We aren't supposed to get complacent. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have a meaningful relationship in your life because of your own self-centeredness and pride and arrogance, you will eventually be miserable. You can have six-pack abs. You can have all the status. You can drive the best cars. But when you go to bed at night and there's no one beside you because no one can stand you, you won't feel important anymore. And the worst thing about it is deep down, I know you're just a scared little boy or a little girl trying to protect yourself from pain and prove your worth and value through all this external validation. That's why you've built up all these walls. That's why you pretend not to care about connection and closeness with someone. You keep all things superficial, right? You hop from one relationship to the next. Why? Because if you actually let someone in, if they actually knew you, if you gave them access to your heart, you're afraid they would hurt you. You're afraid they would see behind the mask that you've so cleverly built up. So you protect yourself with walls and ego and work. But eventually it will all catch up to you. Maybe not now, but eventually you're going to realize you've pushed everyone out of your life. Now, for so many of you, you default to the opposite. Your issue isn't self-centeredness, it's selflessness and low self-esteem. And we feel like we need to earn love and sacrifice and serve for other people to feel worthy and valuable. And that's the other side of a toxic coin. That's not loving yourself. You're so focused on being chosen. You're so focused on giving and sacrificing for others so they will like you and hopefully reciprocate that you've abandoned what you need to feel loved and valued. But that doesn't work either, does it? The reason that doesn't work is because if we have low self-esteem and deep down we don't actually believe that we're worthy to be served and sacrificed for, we will naturally attract narcissists in our life. And tragically, they will fill that narrative that we've already mentally established that people that love us take advantage of us. And even if we hate that about them, it's actually what feels most familiar to us. So having said all that, my only point is it's imperative that we know deep in our soul what we deserve in relationships. Be firm on your legitimate needs. You're not needy for needing respect. You're not needy for needing consistency and intentional love and the bare minimum of reciprocation. Because love means mutually sacrificing and serving each other. It's not about perfectly reciprocating, but love cares whether our partner feels like the effort they're putting in is being reciprocated or not. I believe love is intentionally looking for ways to serve our partner. And in order to do that, we have to first know our partner. We have to know what fills their love tank and then intentionally do those things. Part of loving someone else is exploring and understanding their insecurities and triggers and traumas, just as we understand our own. That doesn't mean excuse toxic and hurtful behavior. It simply means while we're setting up healthy boundaries, we can also be compassionate and empathetic to what they experience during conflict. For instance, some people, when they're triggered, they yell to be heard, or they get really passive aggressive, whereas other people will shut down and get real quiet. Maybe they shame spiral and say, I'll never be good enough. You should just leave me and be with someone else. Am I saying that that's healthy? No. Am I saying we should tolerate yelling or shutting down? Not necessarily. I'm saying that when we love someone, we can have compassion for our partner's triggers while still having healthy boundaries around harmful behavior. That would look like this. Hey, the more I learn about this stuff, it seems like when we get into conflict, you have a tendency to shut down. My guess is that you're feeling very overwhelmed. You probably feel unfairly blamed. You think whatever you say is just going to make things worse, or it's going to get used against you. That makes sense, given your past. But it also triggers me, and it makes me feel this massive amount of abandonment from you. Can we please figure out a new way to do this together? Because I certainly don't want you to feel blamed, but I also need you to be a safe person for me to express my feelings vulnerably and respectfully to. And on the other side, love from that person would sound like this. I'm so sorry. I can completely see how when I shut down, it triggers those deep fears of abandonment in you. And you start yelling because you're desperate to get my attention. You're desperate to be seen and heard in this relationship. And that makes sense. Let's learn a new way to do this together because I love you more than any conflict that we have. And then we forgive them. That's love. When someone takes accountability and says they're sorry, we forgive them. That doesn't mean that we tolerate repeated infractions. Of course, I believe that the best apology is to change behavior. And 100%, there are people out there that say they're sorry, but they never plan on changing, and they're only going to manipulate you. But we also have to acknowledge that in a healthy, loving relationship, there's a heck of a lot of forgiveness too, right? I mean, what's the opposite? Holding on to grudges? Keeping score? How's that working? That also doesn't work, right? Because it makes you miserable. You become bitter and resentful and distant. And that makes sense because no one feels close or connected or safe with someone who is intentionally or unintentionally continuing to hurt them. And it's still true that love forgives each other, just as love works hard to not hurt our partner anymore. And my hope for this video isn't to make you feel shame or make you feel hopeless that you're just going to mess this up. We all mess this up. No one loves perfectly. But you can love intentionally. You can work towards growth and maturity and depth. You can practice self-love and self-compassion. You can practice self-reflection and emotional intelligence. You can learn how to express yourself vulnerably. You can learn how to set healthy boundaries and advocate for your needs respectfully. We can all make an effort to challenge the way we've been showing up in our relationships and make appropriate changes. And I know that any step in the right direction of loving yourself or loving your partner more intentionally is going to make your relationship and your life better overall. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next one.
Alrighty. Good evening to you, ladies and gentlemen. So today we had a very, 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 very heartwarming and heartfelt conversation. We were talking mostoch about when is enough enough. And I think that many of us have to actually come to this point of realization. And many of us have to look within ourselves and look within the relationship. So in a relationship, they said enough is enough when the love is unreciprocated and the effort is unreciprocated. You're the only one making things work, or your partner doesn't try to meet you halfway or meet your needs. Repeated boundary violations. Your partner constantly ignores or disrespects your personal limits. Walking on eggshells. You dread their presence or feel constantly anxious.
Loss of hope. You love them, but have lost hope that they'll change, or you feel trapped and unhappy in life and self. When it's enough, enough. When you self-blame, that is enough. You know, enough is enough. That self-blame thing, enough is enough. You constantly blame yourself for things that aren't your fault. Enough is enough. Feeling used. You're being taken advantage of by friends, family, or at work. And enough is enough. That's how you know enough is enough. Erosion of self. You're no longer the person you used to be or feel deeply unhappy. Enough is enough. Lifestyle impact. Your health, finances, or overall happiness are being severely damaged. Enough is enough, right? And that is how you know enough is enough in life. When you self-blame, you're constantly blaming yourself for things that aren't your fault. And how do you know it's not your fault? Because also, deep down inside, you know that you're just trying to pick up blame that's not yours. We do that a lot because it's called self-punishment. We like that. We like to beat ourselves up because, you know, I don't know. All right. And feeling used. You are being taken advantage of by friends, family, or at work, or lovers. That's how you know when enough is enough, because you're being taken advantage of. And being taken advantage of, you can also see it, honey. And sometimes it takes a while, but you can see it. If you're the family member that everybody's asking for money always, all the time, nobody greets you, nobody checks up on you, nobody calls you for nothing, they're always calling you for assistance, for help, for money, for whatever, being used. And friends only holler at you when they want something. Oh, can you come pick me up? Oh, can you drop me off? Can you come pick me up? Oh, can you drop me off? Oh, work. Can you please do this task for me? Please do this task for me. Like, oh, take some of my work, please. Enough is enough. Erosion of self. You're no longer the person you used to be, or you feel deeply unhappy. So you are unhappy and you are a shell of yourself. That is enough, okay? And lifestyle impact, your health. You lost the weight and you were not even trying. You gained weight and you were not even trying. Your finances are flaky and overall happiness is being severely damaged. You're happy about nothing and that is your problem. You're happy about nothing and it's like, it's wild. Yes, enough is enough. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am saying farewell and I will see you again tomorrow. So same time, same place, and thank you so much.